about fucking you gotta put it in perspective.
Just FYI, word of warning. If you don't like loud noises and you value your eardrums, it might be a good idea to turn the volume down or off. So, yeah. Oh my god! I can't wait!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
Oh. I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
Hey, have you seen Kevin anywhere? He's not here.
What do you mean he's not here? His team manager, he has to.
I know, right?
And now.
Hey, Mr. Brett Favre stopped by and dropped off this picture of a hot dog.
Finally.
Our feature presentation.
Lisa May.
Hey, Bean. How are
you? That's
what
I'm talking about. Lisa being on vacation last week did not stop every single caller from saying, hi, Kevin Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Yeah, it's habit.
I think long after you're dead, people will think you're still alive and still on the show.
That's nice. I can leave whenever I want.
In a way, you live forever. Good to see you, my dear.
Thank you.
Welcome back. 1-800-520-1067. That is the telephone number for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. You give us a call right now, you get on the air, and you get a prize. I'm very sad that our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, is not with us because you know how we tried to get Dave in the Guinness Book of World Records a couple of times?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Try to get him to do that TV watching record. Didn't work out. He was he performed, by the way.
He was did.
His support team that let him down. And we dropped the ball in a couple of areas where we needed to be a little bit more precise in order to get him in the record book. But here's one I really think Dave could win. They had the first ever Siesta Championship in Spain over the weekend. And a 62-year-old unemployed Ecuadorian man actually won it. What they do is they take you into a busy Madrid shopping center and you lay down on a bench. And they have doctors standing by and they have you hooked up to monitor to see when you fall asleep, how long you are asleep, and they measure you for how much you snore, and they have judges awarding points for position and pajamas. So it's very complex, but they actually did it. They say it went over really, really big. They had a lot of contestants, and only about 30% of the contestants managed to fall asleep because they're in the middle of a shopping mall.
Which wouldn't bother Dave, right?
Not at all.
Wouldn't bother Dave at all. Dave, look, I sat with Dave at a Kiss concert where he fell asleep. We were sitting in the third row at a freaking Kiss concert.
That's something you would use as a punchline to a joke. Like, this guy could sleep through anything. He could sleep through a Kiss concert. Would be
right.
You know, something you'd just throw out there as something fantastical. And Dave fell asleep. Dave falls asleep driving, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that is how Dave is going to die. There's no question about that. But anyway, they're in a busy shopping mall with, you know, parents screaming at their kids and the loud music playing and everything else. You got to be pretty hardcore in an environment like that to be able to lay down on a bench and instantly fall asleep, don't you?
Did you tell me, or did I miss it, how long he actually slept?
He slept for 17 minutes of the 20 minutes in the competition.
Oh, Dave could totally do that.
But you have to fall asleep almost instantly then. You only have 20 minutes.
That's true. Oof.
He also registered snores of 70 decibels.
Does Dave that snore? I don't know.
Some extra blizzard.
See, my dad would win this. My dad would honestly win this whole competition.
He can go to sleep like that?
My dad snores in hundreds of decibels and falls asleep he could do it on command.
That's awesome.
Well, there you go.
That's the only benefit to being, like, profoundly obese.
This guy did have a technique, by the way. Here's a tip if you want to start practicing for next year, is he did eat a large meal before the competition because that, you know, naturally makes you feel a little bit sleepy, too.
Sure. So. Maybe a turkey or something.
So, Dave, if you're awake behind the wheel on your way in, at least know that you've got something to look forward to next year. We're sending you to Madrid for the Siesta Championships. 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew right now. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Universal Studios has the famous Halloween Horror Nights going on right now. We're going to give you passes for that. And if you go to Carl's Jr., you can get your coupon for killer deals on select nights to save up to $25. Tom Morello tweeted last night, by the way, that he is an adult, but he got the hell scared out of him at Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, really?
So it sounds like a good one this year. That's your prize for being on the air with us. Let's start with George. George is on line one to get us going here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, George, welcome to the program. What a do?
Good morning. What a do, nephew? I'm not a big fan of this USC sport, but mm-hmm. I must admit, you know, it caught my attention Saturday night. David versus Goliath. Velasquez and Brock Lesnar. My yes. goodness, what a fight.
There was a lot of, was it what a fight? If it goes one round, is that what a fight? That doesn't get my attention.
It was pretty exciting considering the outcome. I mean, because you just couldn't, I don't know.
You couldn't imagine Brock Lesnar lost in a round.
And not just that, but just didn't lose. Brock Lesnar got beat up.
Really?
Like a jail fight. I mean, he got beat up.
Yes, he did.
But if I want furious action for 45 seconds, I'll just have sex.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And I like how Brock Lesnar's so big that you can actually call it David versus Goliath when Cain Velasquez is like a 235-pound dude. But he's somehow, you know, David.
He's dwarfed. Still,
How big Brock Lesnar is.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad you saw it, George. Glad you enjoyed it. They do put a good product on the floor. There's no question about that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it's the dominant sport of its type. But thank you very much for calling. Let's try Christian, line three. We don't get a chance to hear these words very often, so let's give Christian a chance to say them. Hi, you're on the air.
What it do, nephew?
What it do? Good morning.
Yeah. Just want to talk about the Raider Nation, baby.
Is there still a Raider Nation?
Raiders. Beating the crap out of Denver, 59-14.
Wow, yeah, the Raiders have won, two games this year?
No. Three.
Oh, three, sorry.
And two of them were in the division against the Chargers after 7 years. And
nice.
The Broncos.
All right. Congratulations. Yeah. I don't know. I did not see that game, but I can't imagine a scenario where any team in the NFL can score 59 points. I mean, that's just absurd. You don't see that.
I think it was in Denver, too. I mean, that's
really?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't see that for several seasons. You don't see that many points. And that was only in three quarters, right? I mean, that wasn't even, they didn't even need the fourth quarter, right, Christian?
They sat everybody down, give them a rest.
Yeah, sure, why not? Well, I'm already hearing from Raiders fans as yourself because the Raiders are playing the Seahawks this coming weekend.
Yeah, they are.
So I'm already getting a lot of abuse.
The Seahawks are
going to
get a lot of abuse.
Oh,
he's trash talking you.
Apparently, it's on. Apparently, it's on. Thank you for the call. Let's try one more. How about Leslie, line five? Leslie, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What it do?
Hi, what it do?
What
my name is Leslie. Mm-hmm. This weekend, I just wanted to share, on Friday, me and my friend were leaving a Halloween party, and I guess she was a little tipsy. She crashed into a tree, and I don't know if you guys ever had an airbag deploy on you.
I haven't.
But it comes out really hard.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stay open. It, like, deflates again. But it came out so hard that it popped her implant. And just one of them, though. And today she's going into surgery because her doctor doesn't work on the weekends. So she had to go to the ER and she stayed at the hospital over the whole weekend.
Oh, my God.
So why did the car's airbags deploy? Did you guys hit something?
Yeah, we hit the tree.
Hit a tree, and then they deployed, and then your friend's implants also deployed.
Yeah.
Dude, that's scary.
I got really bad because she just got them done last year.
Wow.
How much did that hurt?
Yeah.
What happened was the airbag came out, and, you know, it hit my face, but it hit her chest because she was, like, taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hurt so bad. Like, I was just like, you know, oh, my God. Like, I was more scared, but she started screaming. And I was like, oh, my God, like, what happened to you? And she wasn't bleeding or anything, but she was, like, grabbing her boob.
She's bleeding on the inside,
like,
I bet.
I think so, yeah, because they said that she got, like, they had to drain her all out because she has saline, so it's water, so that's better for you. And, you know, they said that they had to take them out because it could cause an infection or something. So
yeah, of course. This is very sad.
I've never heard of that. That's scary.
Chicks,
yeah.
Hot, tall chicks with breast implants should not be victims of this sort of crime. I'm sorry.
Well, don't hit
a tree. Well, she got them done. fault.
That is wrong. All right. Well, I wish her the best, man. I'm sorry to hear about that. That's rough. Thank you for the call, though. Yeah, you don't see that coming.
I've never heard of that. No.
That's crazy. All right, Big Kevin and Bean Show straight ahead.
Overruled.
No, I'm serious. We really do. We have an update on the fascinating story. Lisa, you just got back from Mexico. You were down there last week.
Yes.
See any beheadings while you were down there?
No.
Really?
Not a one. I saw the
impression I get from the news is you can't stand in Mexico without looking out and seeing someone get beheaded.
You know, it kills me. We had the Border Patrol guy ask a Border Patrol here, and he looked at me and said, don't go to Mexico. That's like saying don't go to the United States. It's an enormous place. There's plenty of places you can go.
Well, we do have an update and an on-the-spot correspondent that will talk to us about that coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. TMZ's Harvey Levin on the program today. It's been a long time since we've done it, but today it's the return of stump sex on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're going to be looking for your calls later on today if you've had sex with somebody with a limb missing.
How did this come up, you guys?
There's a story in the news about a very popular model right now who has no hand. She's got lower part of her arm below the elbow is missing, and she's turned into somewhat of a sex symbol. And that, of course, you see that, and then you go, well, would you? And then the next thing you know, you're talking about it. So anyway, that'll be coming up later on today. Got a new round of Bean's Death Corner today with possibly the greatest death story I've ever seen. I can't wait to share that with you. Our friend Gustavo Ariana will be here with Ask a Mexican later on today. And Stop It America, the return of our new feature, Stop It America, which we debuted while you were gone last week, T. Lee. Okay. Lisa, all of that is coming up. Plus, Rouse got the Showbiz Beat next, right after this on the Kevin. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock, where the Bleed It Out Blood Drive is back this Thursday at Universal Studios Hollywood from 6 until 3. Come by and donate and get some prizes. Details at K-Rock.com. It is $5.50.
Make it sound scary, dude. Oh, come on down. It's Halloween Blood Drive. Come on down. Get some blood. It's going to be so much fun at Universal. Halloween Horrors. Come on, man. It's Halloween blood. The actual blood will be spilled.
All will be carved.
White blood, black blood, all will be spilled.
I like it. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. As we mentioned, it is a Monday. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. So don't suck.
Well, if you won't scare people, I will. I've got tickets for the run of the engagement to see Saw 3. Saw 3D. What that means is, for as long as Saw 3D is in theaters, you, my good radio friends, will be able to go with a companion of your choice. It isn't Halloween until Saw hits theaters, and it's going to be in theaters everywhere this Friday. You will get to go anytime your schedule allows to see Saw 3D if you're one of the first five lucky callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers will win a pair of tickets for the run of the engagement of Saw 3D.
I hear it's the most frightening Saw yet.
Would you like to play a game?
Our good friend Chester Bennington from Linkin Park has a pretty sizable role.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he have to? Does he like in a trap where he's going to cut something off?
No, he's just an accountant.
Boom!
I'm pretty sure he gets pretty messed up.
Would like to play a game? Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office this weekend. Something we do every Monday morning. Paranormal Activity 2. Speaking of scary movies, in its debut weekend, did $41.5 million worth of business.
That's nice. Wow.
Making it number one by far. I get a sense all the big horror movies will do well this season because there's not a lot of competition when it comes to those type of films. Jackass 3D continues to do very well for itself. It was number two this weekend, $21.6 million. Red, the Bruce Willis action-adventure film based on the popular DC comic book, is third, $15 million. Hereafter, the new Matt Damon Clint Eastwood collaboration made $12 million at box office. Not a lot of good buzz from the people I saw. I know who saw it. But it is number four at the box office. Social Network was fifth. Secretariat, Life as We Know It. Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahooly, came in at number eight. The Town was ninth. Easy A came in at number 10 this weekend. And that's the big movies at the box office. Speaking of the hereafter and Matt Damon, congratulations to Matt and his wife, Luciana. They had a baby girl last Wednesday in New York City. It's their third child together. They've already got Isabella, who's four, and Gia, who's two. Luciana has another daughter from a previous marriage, Alexia. This baby's name is Stella. Stella Damon.
Those are all nice names.
Stella! Marlon Brando comedy there. Big call from Marlon.
A lot of Tennessee Williams fans here.
Oh, they're Kevin rolling around in their cars as we speak. Russell Brand, Katy Perry, now husband and wife. Fun couple had a traditional Hindu ceremony at a resort in India on Saturday evening. I don't know if you saw the reports on Friday or not, but apparently there was a Jeep filled with four paparazzi who were following Russell around while he was doing a little tour of the Tiger Reserve. And a guest and one of the bodyguards for Russell apparently beat these guys up, stole their cameras, and then left them bleeding in the middle of the wildlife reserve.
Dude.
That's not where you want to be bleeding, by the way.
No.
In the middle of a bunch of tigers and hyenas and leopards and cheetahs and whatnot. But apparently the wedding went off without a hitch. Only 85 guests in attendance. You'd think there'd be more with the big Magilla that's going on with their 9-day event. But
And I heard they were able to keep all the photographers out, and they sold it, and I guess we'll see those pictures from one of the London tabloids this week.
Yeah, they kept the photographers out because they fed them to tigers. That's how they kept them out.
Now, what's your beat on the chances that couple has? They seem wildly in love. We've never seen a second of any kind of friction since they've been together, but they also seem such type A explosive personalities that I wonder if they'll clash at some point down the road.
Yeah. Here's my thing about Russell Brand. He is a self-professed sex addict. Mm-hmm. Now, addicts of any kind, and Psycho Mike can back me up with this, they love the thrill of the rush of that first flush of that feeling when they take that drug, whatever that drug may be. Katy and Russell haven't been dating for all that long. And I'm sure right now he is wildly in love. My question is, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now, how's Russell Brand going to feel about that relationship? Right. Is he going to get the itch? Is he going to get the urge to feel that flush of new love, of new sex, of exploring a new partner? Is he going to feel that all over again and have to move on?
Yeah.
To the potential damage of their relationship?
I think Ralph is exactly right. A guy like Russell Brand, or any addict in general, you just got to be careful with the ladies who make you go over the top, you know, and just with this explosive romance, and you just can't get enough of them, you don't want to be separated. Those are usually the type of girls that end up being trouble down the road. Because it feeds into your kind of your disease. So that's exactly right.
Interestingly, over the weekend, you know, I do a podcast with Kevin Smith from his Smodcastle in Hollywood there. And we were doing the show Saturday, and we were talking about the pending nuptials of Katy and Russell. And I didn't know this, but Smith had a meeting with Russell Brand about a movie. Came to his house, and they were supposed to sit down and talk about a project. And he said they never talked about the film because for an hour and 30 minutes, all Russell Brand would talk about was Katy Perry.
Really?
Yes. Completely obsessive, like fixated, could not talk about anything else other than Katy Perry. Which sounds very romantic and very exciting, but if you're there for a business meeting and you can't stop long enough to actually conduct any business and you're just completely fixated,
it's really not normal.
It isn't healthy. I don't think
it's unsustainable too, and it sounds to me like a murder suicide down the road.
Well, good time.
Atta boy, Bean.
Well, Bean has his way.
Bean spin on it.
And then it's a death card. Yay!
You know I always look for the death in every story, Ralph. Come on.
I know you do. Congratulations to Celine Dion. Her twin boys were born Saturday via C-section. They were a month early, but apparently everyone is doing well at a medical center in West Palm Beach, Florida, is where she had the babies. Oh, how about the Canadian medical system now, Celine Dion?
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Come to America to have your babies. Well, we'll just keep them, thank you, and send you on your way. Also in the hospital, Leonard Nimoy, legendary Star Trek actor who played Spock, of course, in the TV series and the many feature films. He's 79 years old. Apparently, he was in the hospital for a minor benign abdominal surgery. What was that? A minor benign abdominal surgery, Mr. Nimoy. Apparently, his representatives say he is recovering beautifully. And is there really anything such as a benign minor abdominal surgery?
I don't know what that means.
If they open up your stomach and they're digging around in there, that doesn't sound minor or benign to me. It sounds major and horrific. But apparently, you know, the Vulcans, they're extra strong.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Talking about you, Nimoy.
What was that?
And this is a great story. Fox News in the news. Apparently, a African-American employee of Fox News. Can you imagine being a black guy working at Fox News?
It's rough.
Got to be very much alone, right?
He is suing the network for discrimination. Surprise, surprise. Alleging a steady stream of racist, sexist, and extremely offensive comments during his time there at Fox News. The employee's name is Hareem Jones. Why is that funny to you, Psycho?
Who laughs?
Mike.
It's not funny. It's not.
Harim alleges that while watching a Tea Party rally at work, one white colleague said to him, "This is what happens when you mess with white people's health care." Like it was his fault. Another colleague said he wouldn't feel comfortable with a black president and then asked him, "Am I offending your blackness?" And another time, Harim alleges he was told, "You look like a gangster. You look like you're ready to shoot someone."
What's going on?
Harim is seeking $5 million in damages, alleging that when he complained to a human resources official at Fox, the person told him, "We gave you a chance, and you repay us by making complaints to HR. You're terminated."
Huh.
So if any of that is true, I think Mr. Jones may have a lucrative case on his hands.
Yeah.
But $5 million because you got your feelings hurt? Come on.
There's a difference between having your feelings hurt and being unable to opt to do your job because of the conditions of your workplace.
See, this is what the black people do.
Fox News said. Bean, stop it. You're offending Lisa.
Feel free to send your emails to Bean.
I was making A-Rock. A Fox com. News joke because that's the way they were treating him.
I'll be
I don't
passing
feel
that
way.
Piece of tape along to our own HR department. We'll see how things turn out. Could be the Ralph and Kevin show for it's all.
It certainly could.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Nancy Cartwright. She is the voice of Bart Simpson on The Simpsons and has been so for low these 20 years. She is 53 years old today. Adam Goldberg, the Hebrew Hammer.
Yeah.
Also in Saving Private Ryan and many other feature films. He is 40 years old today. Craig Robinson of The Office.
Or Wilson.
Or Wilson, if you're Lisa. He is 39 years old. Singer Katy Perry. Not only a brand new bride, but also celebrating her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in minutes. Plus, when was the last time you had sex with somebody with a limb missing? That's all coming up here on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's the return of stump sets. This, it's interesting with Lisa just getting back from Mexico on vacation. Kevin, in Mexico right now on vacation this week.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Americans wary about traveling because of the violence. I mean, I forgot the number that I read last week, but it was a shocking number of people who have been murdered in this ongoing drug war that's going on. It's like the old West. It's like, trying to keep control of roads and killing anyone who goes on your road because this is the drug traffic. You know, this is the route that they're taking to move all their drugs. But the crazy thing about these wars down there in Mexico, and it seems out of control, it doesn't seem like the government or the police has any kind of way to stop it at all, is that people are being beheaded left and right. I mean, it's insane. I mean, that's how you send a message to the other side, is you not only kill their people, you behead their people.
Yeah, that's the message.
It sure does. We talked a couple of weeks ago about that story about that American who got shot in the head while he was out. What was he doing?
He was on a ski jet, wasn't he? Something like that?
Jet ski. Yeah, that's right. He was jet skiing. He got shot in the head. So they sent a guy out to investigate. That guy was killed and his head was left in a suitcase out in front of the police station.
Man.
That's their way of saying, hey, it's our territory, leave me alone. And then there's this other story that just came out a couple of days ago from Ciudad Juarez. This is a woman who was found beheaded. The body was discovered wrapped in a blanket with the woman's severed head behind it. Downtown Ciudad Juarez, another victim of the increasingly bloody drug war. And it's just like, it's out of control. I mean, we're terrified as Americans to go down there for a few days. Imagine what it would be like to live in Mexico and have this violence in your neighborhood.
Especially these border towns, yeah.
Absolutely. So we wanted to find out more about this very tragic story, and we asked producer Alex to line somebody up, and we have an actual Mexican detective, Don Sanchez of Juarez State Police Force, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Senor Sanchez, thank you for being on with us, sir.
It's my pleasure. Buenos dias, everybody. How are you?
Buenos dias to you as well. I'm not overstating the danger down there for people in your country. The deaths are every day in the newspaper, and increasingly we are seeing beheadings. Am I right?
Well, the death toll is very high, but I do believe you are overstating how much beheading is going on down here in Mexico. Whenever you're dealing with the leaders of the cartels, there is going to be some violence. These are terribly violent people, and mm-hmm. they're incredibly aggressive. They like to send a message. But these stories of beheadings, I believe, are all, as you Americans say, urban legend.
So, in other words, it makes the news and it gets pumped up a lot more than it deserves just because it's so graphic and seems so unusual.
Sure, it catches a headline here and there,
right.
But it's not a beheading epidemic here in Mexico, as you might think. It's a very, very safe place, all things considered.
Hello? Detective?
Detective?
Are you there?
Hello? Señor Sanchez. Hello? What happened to the man we were just talking to?
I don't know. I'm, you know, just here on vacation.
Are you wearing a bikini?
Yeah, I'm wearing a bikini.
Wait, you're on vacation. You're just walking by the beach in Juarez, and there's a guy laying there with a head missing. That doesn't bother you?
No, I mean, really, what's the chances that something's gonna happen to me in Juarez? You know, I just thought the chances is not gonna.
Hello.
Oh,
hello,
that's
girl in bikini on vacation.
It's so sad. She sounded so cute.
Oh, no. What the hell?
I wonder if there's anyone there who can pick up the phone. Hello?
Bueno.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Can you hear us? What's going on down there? We just heard somebody else get beheaded.
It's coconuts. You want coconuts?
What? No.
No, no, no. We were asking. No, 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 no. We're not trying to buy anything. We're actually in America.
We got two hairy coconuts.
Okay, those are your balls, Doc. That's not what we're talking about here. We're asking about the people.
Cabezas.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That's the third one.
I thought this wasn't a problem. I thought this was an epidemic that was not out of control.
It's not even. Never mind.
Ooh. Telefono. Hello.
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 Aren't you standing in a human pyramid of bodies at this point?
We see this all the time. It's no problem.
Okay, aren't you worried? Like, who's doing all this beheading? How could you stand there so calmly?
Chicas?
Chicas? I'm not going to buy any chicas, no.
Chicas, not chicas. Chicas,
oh,
gum.
No chicas, no. You should run.
Oh, that's going to leave a mark.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the highlights of our show every Monday is our friend Harvey Levin on the line from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, does anyone ever go as you at Halloween, get himself a polo shirt and a cup of coffee and hit the road?
Somebody at the gym came up to me and said, I'm thinking of doing it. I'm just thinking, get a life. Find something better than that. I don't even have a life, so why would they go as me?
Exactly.
You better hit the gym pretty hard or wear one of those like buff guy suits if you want to be Harvey Levin for Halloween. That's what
he's
I'm saying.
He's the man.
Why do you work out so much, Harvey? Is it just to have a place that you could go where you can turn off your phone and your pager, just not think about your job?
Yeah, it is like the best time of my day.
I bet. Yes.
I mean, it's just to eliminate some stress, and it's just a great part of my day.
Good for
it's
you.
True.
All right, well, let's catch up on what's new on TMZ, but I want to back up a couple of days first because we haven't talked to you since Lindsay Lohan's court appearance on Friday. Any surprise for you, or is it exactly what you expected?
No, it was a surprise for me. I mean, I really thought the judge was going to throw her in jail. I didn't have any basis other than the month before he did it. And, you know, he wouldn't see her lawyer, and it just felt like he was heading down that path. But, you know, it looks like they convinced her. I mean, it's a huge victory for her lawyer, Sean Chapman Hawley, because the DA wanted 6 months in jail. So,
dude.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, to get her back to Betty Ford was a big deal. The issue now is it going to work?
Betty Ford seems to really be on lockdown. I mean, we don't hear anything coming out of there about how she's doing. Do you know what the progress is like?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I talk to people, obviously, in her life, and they're saying that she's really doing well, but I will say this. I read the probation report because, you know, there's a probation officer who interviews her before the court appearance. And I'm really kind of surprised the judge didn't mention a couple of these things. But in the probation report, she says, you know, this rehab thing is getting in the way of my ability to make money and save my career. And that's kind of a red flag.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that the priority has got to be getting better. And the probation officer kind of said she gets that she has an addiction, but she doesn't fully get it. And unless you're totally committed to something like this, especially with her history, I don't know. I mean, I hope it takes this time, but it's a weird statement.
Who's paying for all this rehab?
Well, good question. We actually, screw it. I was going to put this up on the site today, but I might as well tell you. I mean, there were rumors that her business manager was paying, but that's not true. I mean, she's actually paying, and it's a lot of money. I mean, it's minimum $26,000 a month. But, you know, she does have money. It's just she does not have a lot of money, and what she's got, she's spending. So she's got money problems, but I'm told she's paying for it.
I was really surprised to see on TMZ.com today, or maybe I read it yesterday, that she is continuing to work from the Betty Ford Center, making sketches for her fashion lines and things like that. That kind of surprised me that they would allow that. It seems like they would want your focus on your recovery.
I know. You know, she's doodling. I mean, I guess that's the way you can look at it. I mean, these are sketches for her clothing line, and she's doing sketches, but look, I mean, time will tell, and I just keep going back to Robert Downey Jr. that, you know, it didn't work, and it didn't work, and it didn't work, and then finally it worked. And, right. You know, maybe, you know, hopefully it'll happen. I mean, again, the more you look at what happens with her parents, the more you realize why she's in the position she's
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's turn our attention to today's news on the front page of TMZ.com. You've got the latest on Oksana Grigorieva, who I guess Playboy is going after. I'd look at that.
Yeah, $75,000, and they're saying, look, we'll even give her the cover. So they wanted. I don't think she's going to do this.
Really? How come?
I think she's got so much invested in this lawsuit right now. And, well, I say lawsuit. I mean, I think there's going to be a lawsuit. And she's got so much invested in the criminal trial and her, you know, and everything else, and she's got some credibility issues, that I just think if she does it, it's going to look like the typical grandstanding person, you know, around a celebrity. So
right.
My gut is it's not going to happen, but everything else is surprising me in this case, so who knows?
And, Harvey, is she a bigger star than we think here in the United States? Is she a bigger star in the Soviet Union and that part of the world?
Not really. I mean, she really was never a star in the Soviet Union. Some people knew her in the music world, but she really wasn't a star. I mean, she was banking on Mel producing this album and, you know, getting on the charts. He spent a lot of money on this album. And you know, that's a lot of people find that really weird. You know, when Mel Gibson, why is he in Mexico doing a music video for this woman who nobody knows? And that was kind of the first sign. But, you know, her eggs were in Mel's basket, so to speak, and that's gone.
You know, it's funny, this Oksana story, I mean, she can make money by taking off her clothes. And you probably heard our interview we had with the Octomom a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Which, by the way, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about that.
No, we haven't.
How chaotic was her life? Could you believe on that phone call, every 45 seconds she was screaming at another kid to do something? It was crazy, wasn't it?
Well, what did you expect? I mean, you know, it's, you know, even the doctor now that artificially inseminated her, there's this whole thing going on with the medical board, and even he's saying, I kind of regret it. And it's like, we knew that 2 days into this thing. That
yeah.
How the heck was she going to take care of 14 kids alone? And ultimately, you know, everybody was, oh, wow, there's a lot of publicity, and it's Octomom, and we'll have a lot of nannies and volunteers. But ultimately, she's got to do this herself
yeah.
and then hope that she's going to get help. And it must be impossible.
It must be impossible. But she does have, I mean, she could make $1 million tonight if she wanted to, if she would just do the porn. And she said she wouldn't do it. I don't know how her reputation could be any worse than most people's eyes, though. I mean, people still hate her so much.
Yeah,
and I don't think necessarily fairly, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they hate her. I think that there's something off, clearly. And, you know, the fact that she chose to do it and wanted to do it, there's something off. And I don't know that they hate her as much as, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. I don't get a sense of that. I don't think that people say, I hate this woman. I think they're thinking this is really sad.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised when she told us that she's never gotten a dime from the state, though, because I think what people thought when she first had those babies is we as taxpayers were going to all end up paying for that family.
Right.
And
yeah.
She said that has never been the case.
Yeah, that's not been the case yet. But ultimately, she's got to feed these, you know, 14 kids, and she's got to have a place to live. And if the money starts drying out, she's going to do what everybody does, which is you got to go for public assistance at a point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, if we lost our jobs, we'd apply for unemployment.
Right.
I mean, that is something that is made available to citizens. That's right.
That's right. I mean, it's not like she'd be doing anything illegal. And, you know, at a point, you know, hopefully she'll be able to make money. But everybody pretty much said 3 years from birth, it ain't going to be pretty.
Yeah. TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Get all the latest on Katy Perry and Russell Brand getting married, Eva Longoria, a lawsuit imminent, and the Kat Von D meltdown. It's all right there on the front page. And check your local listings for TMZ Television. Harvey, have a fantastic week, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
You too, guys. We'll see you.
Bye. Right there, Incubus performing live at Smokeout, posted by our dear friend Nicole at krock.com. So check it out, won't you? It is 6:36. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. I asked Dave the King of Mexico to come in because he and Psycho Mike. Now, you guys could have gone to the fight. You could have been at Honda Center Saturday night. How come you ended up watching in a bar for UFC 121?
Well, what, I mean,
brown man not allowed at the Honda Center? What happened?
No, there's plenty of brown people there, but there's something about going to see the fights, and then there's something about actually watching the fights, because when you're there, the cameraman get in the way, and you know, you have to, you're watching it through a gate, so mm-hmm. you want to see it all. And plus, I love hearing Joe Rogan. So yeah. that's why I watch it.
And unless you're Joe Rogan, I think people underestimate how small that cage is. Unless you're Joe Rogan, you don't really get a very good view of the fight.
I mean, you end up watching it on screen anyways.
And we watched Cain Velasquez beat up a dude about a year ago at Staples Center. So Dave and I got our brown pride feel fill in, you know.
Now, before we talk about the main event, before we get into the Brock Lesnar-Cain Velasquez fight, I have to ask, because we had Tito on Friday. Tito Ortiz was on Friday, who has been hurt and laid off for a long time. And this was his big return to the UFC. And he desperately needed to win this fight. He was fighting against the man that he had taught, basically, on the TV show, right?
Yeah.
Matt Hamill. And by the way, I didn't realize until this weekend, because we think of Tito as being such an established superstar and has been around so long, and Matt Hamill, that's Luke Skywalker.
That would be an awesome fight.
Matt Hamill seems like a newcomer, you know, because we didn't know him until the TV show. They're only a year apart in age. Did you realize that? Tito's only 1 year older than Matt Hamill. That really surprised me. But what was the reaction like to that fight? I mean, did you, because I was having trouble getting a beat on whether people were happy to see Tito come back or if he's burned too many bridges and people are over him.
Well, Tito always is the villain, you know, and I think people were happy that he lost again, you know. And,
really?
Yeah, and it sucks.
Dave's right. He's a super polarizing character. I think he's good for the UFC because he grabs attention, but as many people that are Tito fans are Tito enemies, you know?
Yeah.
He was fired up when we talked to him on Friday, though. I mean, it really sounded like he had prepared for this fight more than he's prepared for anything he's ever done. And he could not have been, you know, it sounded like to us when we talked to him that he just was dying to get in there and win that thing.
I base this on nothing. I haven't talked to anybody in his camp or anything, but a back injury, a spinal injury, it affects everything you do in
it's
movement,
tough.
You know? And I think he's leading us to believe it's a lot less harmful than it really was, that injury. I think it's really affecting him.
And
Matt
Hamill's no joke. I mean, he's really good. And so to lose to him, it's no big deal. I mean, that's just how it happens, you know?
Hamill won via unanimous decision, if you did not see it, by the way. But Tito was not, you know, was not taken down. Let's talk about Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez. This was the one that when we had Joe Rogan on last week, he said this one's almost impossible to call because both these guys bring so much with them. What was it like to watch? Well, I'm too cheap to buy it, so I didn't see it.
Well, I mean, it was interesting because when they brought them together to give them the rules, you see how much bigger Brock Lesnar is. And as soon as that bell rang, Lesnar just charges him. And you know something was up because Lesnar put his head down, charged, and didn't want to get punched. And man, did Cain just unload on him. And
he beat him up. It was
beat
crazy.
Him up. It looked like sort of like a street fight, and then just one wasn't it wasn't fair. Like, Cain just unleashed punch after punch after punch. Brock took him down. Cain bounced right back up like I've never seen anyone bounce up before. And just unload more punches. Now, the last fight that Lesnar had was against Shane Carwin. And Shane Carwin did the same thing, knocked him down and punched him and then gassed out. Cain, I guess, learned from that and, you know, picked his punches, and just, you know, took him apart.
And the big big word on the street about Cain Velasquez is that he's never going to gas out. It's just an impossibility.
Joe told us he's the greatest cardio athlete he's ever seen.
Yeah, it's almost freakish. It's unexplainable.
The guy could run from here to Boston and not stop.
Yeah, after the fight, it looked like he could fight again. You know, he was ready to go and he was pumped. So, wow, it was amazing.
There was a lot of excitement for that fight. In comparison to in even the fights leading. I mean, when Lesnar and Cain Velasquez were coming out of their locker rooms, it was just like you could feel the buzz in the bar we were watching it. I can't even imagine what it must have been like in the arena. Yeah. It was a lot of excitement for this fight.
How bad was Lesnar hurt?
Oh my God! Did you see, Bean? You have to see this cut. It was a cut from about underneath his eye to down his cheek. He's going to look like Dr. Evil if it scars up.
Wow.
this cut, after the fight, they focused on him. The cut man was trying to work on it, and it was winking at us like it wouldn't close.
Ew. Yeah,
it looked like blood just dripping down his face.
God.
It looked
like a Hollywood makeup job. It didn't look real.
Yeah,
and
they were
stuffing petroleum jelly in this kind of clogging agent, and there's nothing they
could do.
It was just kept opening and pouring out blood.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't think anyone would have predicted Lesnar goes down in round one. That's for sure. I need some help, though, on something that I did see online after the fight. And,
yes.
And please, if you can tell me what's going on here, call now at 1-800-520-1067. Of course, anytime you got a big fight like this, a lot of stars come out. And one of the stars who was sitting pretty close to the octagon was The Undertaker from the WWE, right? And the post-fight, and this is seconds after the fight ends. In the post-fight interview, something so weird happened, and you'll hear it on this tape. I don't know what the bad blood is between The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, but it looked like another fight was getting ready to break out, because as Brock Lesnar walks by The Undertaker, they stop and glare at each other, and The Undertaker basically says, "You want to do this?" I mean, what's that about? Why? How do they even, I mean, do you guys have any idea?
I'm not a big enough fan of the WWE to know if there was any bad blood previous to this when Brock Lesnar was in the WWE, but I can assume that's what it came from.
Well, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Let's listen to a little bit of the post-fight interview, and you'll hear the part that I'm talking about.
Ariel Helwani, post-fight at UFC 121, where Cain Velasquez just beat Brock Lesnar, and we're here with The Undertaker. Sir, what are your thoughts on what we just witnessed?
I'm a little bit shocked, you know. I thought Brock was going to come out strong like he did. I thought Kane's chances would be better if they went in, you know, the fourth or fifth round. I'm a little bit shocked. I thought Brock might have got to him early, but you know what? Kane's a hell of a fighter, and he did a hell of a job.
By the way, he starts to get a little bit distracted because he's looking out of the corner of his eye, and he sees Brock Lesnar coming out of the octagon and starting to walk in his direction. So he's very distracted during the second question this interviewer asked, and that's when they stop. The two men stop and just stare at each other.
Do you think, considering the size difference, that he'd be able to manhandle him like that?
No, I didn't think so. I think Brock's strength and size would overmatch him. I thought it would have to go into a cardio battle, and
Looking.
I'm actually very surprised.
It's almost like you're at a loss for words here.
You want to do it?
You hear that? You want to do it?
I heard
that's
it.
What Brock Lesnar's standing. I mean, he's walking, you know, out back to the dressing rooms, and he just stops right in front of The Undertaker and just stares him down.
You want to do it?
They're just looking at each other, and he walks away. Back to the interview.
There was Brock Lesnar right there. What did you just say to him?
It's kind of a personal thing. You know, I think maybe he needs to, I think he needs to train a little harder.
Are you guys cool?
Personal.
Wow.
Personal. So apparently they're not boys.
They're not boys.
So
it's not. That's really strange.
It was weird. Let's ask John. He's on line one real quick, and maybe he's got some insight as to what that was about, because it was just a weird moment. I couldn't figure it out. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What say you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi.
Nope.
Yeah, no, just some info on that. I saw that pre-fight or the post-fight interview with Ariel Helwani or whatever on MMA fight, and The Undertaker's, he was saying he had something personal going on between him and Brock Lesnar. But what it is that the WWE had offered Brock Lesnar a match with The Undertaker back in the WWE. And you know how these guys are masters at promotion and masters of acting. So it was just all, it's just hype, I think, for a potential upcoming fight. I don't think Brock Lesnar would do it, but
what happened when they offered him that fight when he was back in the WWE, though? He turned it down? He would not fight The Undertaker?
I guess not, but I guess it's still on the table, according to WWE. But I mean, that is something that I don't think Dana White would allow.
Yeah, I don't think Brock is going back.
He's not going to go back. I mean, who knows? But because Brock Lesnar actually, just from this one loss, might be done. There's like, I don't think there's any way they can market him.
I think a rematch with Velasquez would be huge no matter what. Even though he got beat like a schoolgirl, I think people would totally tune into it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I actually feel sorry for the next guy Brock fights.
Yeah, well, people are going to tune in. But if he has to work his way up against contenders now, I don't think he's going to make it back up there. I mean, he's kind of been fighting. He has been fighting number one contenders, but God, there's so many guys in line that just giving him an immediate rematch now would just
it wasn't fair.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And by the way, you got to give the UFC so much credit for the talent that they are able to field with almost every single pay-per-view, and also with the young guys that are coming up that are so good. I mean, they really do create stars in that sport, which is amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So the bottom line is, before we go, John, thank you very much for the call. The bottom line is, it sounds like it was a little WWE acting is what it was. It was a little cross-pollination between the two is what it sounded like there. Anyway, good times. And Dave, at the bar, you started what chant while you were watching Cain Velasquez?
Kill Whitey.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked.
Nice.
Well done.
Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
Hey. Thank you, Mumford, and thank you, Sons. It's 106.7.
So glad to hear the bare naked ladies working again. Oh, that's good
silly
stuff.
Ralph.
Oh.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 6:55. Hey, go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Check out the photo that we have just posted of a model in her bra, but she's got an arm missing. So before you get too excited, that'll bring you right back down to earth. We're going to be discussing that in the next half hour. The picture is at the top of kevinandbean.com. And then we'll want to talk to you if you've had sex with people with limbs missing, because stumpy sex. It's been a long time since we've had stumpy sex on the show.
This is such a classy show.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Anyway, that's coming up here on the Kevin Beach Show. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
She's a model. She's hot.
Yeah. She is a model and she is hot.
Would you reckon? Problem.
And she's got one hand. That's all you need, really, right?
And she could have no hands. What? Who cares? It's like, you can only say no to her if you're the guy who only looks at a girl at a bar and go, oh my God, look at her hands. I have to have sex with her. If you're that guy, then maybe you can turn this woman down. Otherwise, no. Don't be an idiot.
If you have a hand fetish.
Right.
But okay.
If you look at the cover of the Twilight book
just
with that woman holding the apple and you just go nuts for it, then maybe you can say no to Tanya.
Just by the conversations we have off air here, I believe you and I have lower standards than the rest of the guys when it comes.
I don't know about lower standards. I think no standards would be more appropriate.
Because you know Bean and Dave, they find...
Oh, they're so picky.
I choose to remain celibate and keep my essence to myself. That's Bean's position, I think. I guess we lost him.
Let's
take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Hey, we do so every Monday morning. Paranormal Activity in its debut, $41.5 million, made it number one. A lot of people looking to be scared as the Halloween season approaches. Speaking of which, very little Halloween spooks this year, by the way.
Thank God.
Very little. Yeah.
Thank God.
You have really shirked your duty, in my opinion, Bean. You have been lackluster and fallen short.
Well... You know, Kevin likes the rain on the Halloween Spooks Parade, but now that he's out this week,
yeah,
maybe we'll
let's
really
do it.
Amp nope. it up. Okay, nope. Yeah. Good call.
But there's a great number of things you do that many people here don't like. It hasn't slowed you down one iota.
That's
this
good
particular
point.
Thing, though, you have completely backed off and let down not only America, but I think Jesus.
It is not Halloween without the Halloween Spooks. You're correct.
Jackass 3D was number two at the box office, $21.6 million. Red was third. Hereafter, the new film with Matt Damon, directed by Clint Eastwood, was fourth. Social Network came in at number five. Secretariat, Life as We Know It, Legend of the Guardians, The Town, and Easy A rounding out your top ten at the box office. Speaking of movies, surprise, surprise, Mel Gibson is furious.
I don't care.
Says TMZ.com. Apparently, if you've been following the story at all, last week we mentioned that he was going to do a hilarious cameo in the upcoming The Hangover Part 2. He was going to play a tattoo artist.
That's provocative.
Shows up and gets involved with the boys as they have a crazy Bangkok vacation. However, the cast and crew mutinied pretty much against director Todd Phillips, who had arranged the cameo and said they didn't want to work with Mel. Mel got booted from the project, and Liam Neeson, the hilarious Liam Neeson, was brought in.
Oh.
To do the cameo instead.
Huh.
Largely because
I don't like it.
People are speculating his close friendship with Bradley Cooper. They did the A-Team together, so that's probably why he got
You look like a bitch on heat. Well, and if you get raped by a pack of...
That's hardly fair. Mr. Gibson. I'm just reporting the news. Well, Mel is furious about being fired from the film. As you can imagine, he thought a minor role in a major hit like The Hangover Part 2 would be help for his tattered career, kind of bring him back to public view again and perhaps soften public opinion. He said he doesn't a source close to Mel says he doesn't understand why Mike Tyson, a drug user and convicted criminal, mm-hmm. was given a chance to be in the film while Mel was deemed inappropriate for the motion picture.
I think distance from the incident that got him infamy is a large part of that. I don't think Mike Tyson would have been cast in the movie 6 months after he was convicted of rape.
Yeah, perhaps it is too soon. Alan Neera, by the way, is an agent who represents both Mel Gibson and Liam Neeson. That's got to be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, good for Alan. He gets his 10% no matter who gets the gig. But he issued a statement about Liam getting hired over Mel. And the following statement said, Liam Neeson will replace Mel Gibson in the part pending clearance of cast and crew background check. He said, giving a shot to the whole proceeding. So Mel's furious, according to friends.
You're a pain in my ass!
I find that hard to believe that Mel's furious. Oprah Winfrey's life story may be coming to the big screen. An insider tells AbsoluteNow.com that Oprah Winfrey's life story may be made into a motion picture, which is good news for Precious.
There's the role she's been waiting
finally
for.
She can get another role in a major motion picture. Word is Oprah would like Halle Berry to play her in the movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Shut up.
She would.
Cow.
Yeah. Nope.
And apparently people around Oprah think a biographical big-budget movie would be a great way to mark the end of her legendary daytime talk show that she's saying goodbye to. So this would be a nice cap to the career, in their opinion.
Is there any chance that could be a decent movie?
No.
No, because we'll never really know what the deal is with Stedman or...
Yeah, it'll be a giant whitewash
job. Or really, really close friend.
Or a black.
Why the wash? Gotta be white.
Today's celebrity birthday is Nancy Cartwright of The Simpsons, the voice of Bart on that very popular television program. She is 53 years old today. Adam Goldberg from Saving Private Ryan and many other projects turns 40 years old. Guitarist Ed Robertson of Bare Naked Ladies. Speaking of the band, we just heard play that song. He plays banjo, too. He's very talented. He is 40 years old. Craig Robinson of The Office is 39 years old. Singer Katy Perry is a newlywed and also celebrating her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, less than a week until Halloween. Time to talk about one of my favorite subjects, stump sex.
My stump, my stump, my stump, my lovely little stump, MBT.
Thank you, Omar. The whole reason you did this topic again was just to hear that theme song.
My stumps, my stumps. You can go to kevinandbean.com right now and check out the headline, a model with a missing body part, deal breaker? Question mark. This is a very controversial campaign that has proven quite popular. Tanya Kiewicz is her name, and she has done a photo. It's a black and white photo, very classy black and white photo of her standing there in a black bra. And I guess it's a takeoff on one of the old Victoria's Secret campaigns from Eva Herzegova from a few years ago. Beautiful girl. However, she has a hand missing.
Right.
And the reason for the campaign is there is a disability awareness group, basically, and they're trying to get people to discuss handicaps and talk about what it means, talk about how you treat people, and basically just to kind of get the conversation started again. But all I know is when I saw it, I thought, man, she's so hot, but she's got a hand missing. Do you still hit that?
I don't even know how this is a conversation.
I agree.
I really don't. I just can't understand.
Well, Bean finds all sorts of ways to reject women before they reject him. That's what this is.
There's only one body part she could be missing that would take her off my list. And that's a heart. A heart. If she had no pulse, then maybe I would have to
pass. See, I was going with vagina.
I know where you were going. Yeah, but I was trying to stay above the belt.
Okay, but you know that I, first of all, you know that I don't care for the handicapped. I mean, I've certainly made no secret of that. I don't like the handicapped at all. But secondly, even though she's hot, wouldn't you lose your enthusiasm, shall we say, for the act when you look down and see a stump coming at you?
No.
Really?
I don't understand.
That doesn't take you out of the sexy time at all?
Not when she looks with like, she's got that face and those boobs and that body. And that skin and all of this, she's got so many things going for her that a hand or two, you know, missing from the equation is hardly a deal breaker.
But how much hotter would she be if she had both hands?
Not that much.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it would make that much difference.
She would be 1/16th hotter or whatever it is when you get down to, you know, breaking down arms, legs, and feet and that kind of stuff.
But she's got a stump.
I understand
that. We get
it. I see the photo. I see what she looks like. I recognize the fact that she is deficient in the hand department to the tune of one.
Lisa, have you seen the photo?
Yes.
What do you think?
You're ridiculous.
Yes. Is she hot enough?
She's hot enough.
Yes.
You know what? She could be half that hot, and she's hot enough for you.
Yeah, really?
Jeez.
You should kiss the ground she walks on if she had, or crawls on, or whatever she has to do.
She can walk.
She's got all her feet, Ralph.
But if she doesn't, then she don't even have to kiss the ground. All right, what happens if she loses the other hand, and now she's got no hands? Are you still in?
Even better for me, you know?
I don't get that.
Well, because
a lot of times girls not only use their hands to grab stuff, but they use it as a point of reference when it comes to sizing things.
Oh, so I figured she has no hands.
You look good all of a
I'm
sudden.
Like, no, I'm huge.
Although, what if she's referring down there to the stump hanging off her shoulders, looking at that, then she's looking at what you're working with.
Yeah, her stump looks like an elephant trunk compared
to
what
I'm saying.
No
kidding. Yeah.
So you can see the photo. You can go to kevinandme.com, and then there's a poll up that you can vote. Would you hit that is the question. You can either choose, hell's yeah, she's 98% fine. Or you can choose stumpy sex, no way. Or the third option, the rent's too damn high. I don't even know how that got in there. That didn't even make any sense. But anyway, so those are the choices. And then we thought, I bet in our vast Kevin Mead audience, we have a lot of people listening who have at one time or another had stumpy sex.
Yeah, sure. You know, there's a whole subculture that is turned on by it. There's a whole fetish built around the amputee community.
And what's that about, Ralph?
That is about the human sexual animal being infinite. There's all kinds of different people who get turned on by all kinds of different things, and stumps and amputees is definitely one of them.
Hmm. Well, we'll be happy to hear from you, or we'll be happy to hear from you if it wasn't your preference. It wasn't that you were going out looking for somebody who had an arm or a leg missing. It just turned out that you met a person and hit it off, and it turned out that you guys, you wanted to give it a shot.
For example, on this season of Survivor, there's a young lady who's been competing who has one leg. And she has a prosthetic, one of those bionic prosthetics, like one of those cheetah legs that's got a spring on it and everything. She can run like 100 miles an hour and whatnot. And she's a beautiful girl, and she's been running around in her bikini all season long, and she's stunning. And she's absolutely, you would absolutely hit that given the opportunity.
Wow. I got to start watching Survivor.
No, she got booted off. She got booted off last week, I think.
So we're gonna throw it out there for you. It's been a couple of years since we've asked for these calls, but if you've had sex with an amputee, we want to hear about it. Or should we also include you're the amputee, by the way? Should we do it both ways?
Sure, absolutely.
Because I would imagine
amputees out there, feel free to call in.
Because I would imagine they have kind of encountered whatever bias some people may have against those with limbs missing. So if you're on either side of amputee sex, we want to hear from you. And by the way, this show immediately going into the Museum of Television and Radio Broadcasting as soon as we're done. But give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. You had sex with the amputee. You are the amputee. How's that going for you? Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming right up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
My stump, my stump, my stump. My lovely little stump.
Coming up next hour, right here on the world famous K-Rock, our friend Gustavo Arellano will be here with Ask a Mexican.
What's with all the Mexicans?
That's a great question. We'll find out. That is coming up on the world famous K-Rock. It is 7:23. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday talking about stump sex.
My stump, my stump, my stump. My lovely little stump. Amputee.
Acrotomophilia, by the way, is the official name for people who are sexually turned on by amputees.
Nice. Oh, no.
Acrotomophilia. I thought this was interesting. In a survey of acrotomophiles, leg amputations were preferred over arm amputations. Amputations of a single limb were preferred over double amputees. And an amputation that left a stump is much preferred over amputations that leave no stump.
Interesting. That's more than most people plan to learn this morning listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I would imagine, particularly with a leg missing, that does open it up for some variations, some things that maybe you couldn't do otherwise.
Apparently.
If you catch my meaning.
Yeah.
Heather Mills is the perfect sex symbol for the amputee crowd. Because she has a single amputated leg, and that's
does it matter that she's a giant bitch?
I think that is a drawback, even for the acrotomophiles.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Go to kevinandbean.com. You'll see the picture of the model that started the conversation. She's awfully hot. She has a hand missing. Would you still hit that is the poll on the website. And we are talking to people who have had sex with amputees or are the amputees themselves. And what's that like? Let's try Tony, line one, to get us going. Tony, thanks so much for holding on, man. What's your story?
My ex-girlfriend, she had an accident on a motorcycle and lost her leg up to her knee, her left leg.
Is her name Eileen?
Hey!
No, sorry.
Now, were you already dating her when the accident happened, or did you meet her after she was already an amputee?
I met her after.
Okay. And did it give you pause at all? Was it a potential deal breaker for you, or you dug her so much that it didn't matter that she had part of a leg missing?
No, I don't think the leg part was the issue. She was just being a bitch. That's about it.
But why were you, when you were attracted to her initially, was it a deal breaker? Did it come into your mind at all that she had one leg? That would be a drawback.
I guess maybe at first, but then after a while, it didn't matter. It was just another person.
How about that?
That's
good
cool.
for you, Tony.
Yeah.
So Tony's better than I am.
Yes,
oh,
much
yeah.
better. What you're saying. You knew that before we even talked to him. Thank you, Tony. Let's try Emily, line three. Hey, Emily, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi there.
Hi.
I had a boyfriend who was missing his right arm below the elbow.
Okay.
And, yeah, he also lost it in a car accident, or a motorcycle accident. And I met him after the fact, and we just hit it off really well. And after a while, I didn't even hardly notice.
Isn't that interesting? It never bothered you. It was never a turnoff for you sexually at all. It didn't take you out of the moment to look up and see a big old stump.
Okay, maybe at first a little bit, but after a while, no.
Did the stump ever come in handy in the bedroom,
yeah.
if you know what I'm talking about, Emily?
Ralph.
No, and you're not the first person to ask me
no,
that.
No, I'm not.
Poor Emily.
Ralph, listen to B. Now, all of a sudden, he's the attorney general. He's across...
Hey, Emily, what was the reaction like from your friends and family when you told them you were dating a guy with an arm missing? Were they cool with it, or were they surprised?
Well, at first they were like, that's really weird that you would want to date him. But then after a while, they all got to know him. They're like, it's weird that you don't even notice after you get to know him.
But how about that? Interesting.
I would think it'd be weirder if friends or family said, no, you shouldn't be dating that person. That's an odd discriminatory thing.
I would have
pause
against that person. You know,
yeah.
They never said that I shouldn't date him. They were just like, you can really find someone with two arms.
That's what I was expecting. We are a two-arm family. You bring home a two-arm boy the next time. We will not have one of those one-arms sitting at our dinner table.
Thank you for the call, Emily. Let's try Amy. She is herself the amputee. Amy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What body part are you missing?
I'm missing my right arm below the elbow as well, and I've never found a problem dating or anything like that.
Does that arm ever come in handy in the bedroom?
Oh, Ralph.
Talking about?
Were you?
No,
how,
people
how,
have suggested that I do porn, but no.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah,
yeah.
How old were you when you lost the arm?
I was born like this, so it's all I've known my whole life.
Oh,
so, yeah. If you just act like it's no big deal, then everyone else acts like it's no big deal. Of course, at first people are like, "Oh my gosh, that's weird," and I always feel weird to meet people's family that I'm dating, but
yeah.
after they get to know me, they forget too.
That's so cool.
I would imagine it'd be so weird. I mean, you shake hands with your left hand, for instance. I mean, that would be weird, right?
That's always awkward, yes, but I just, you know, do it.
And have you ever had any guy that you've been dating or almost dating who, for him, he couldn't see past that?
No, not that was obvious at all. It's never been a problem.
I sense that Amy is very hot, by the way.
Yeah.
She sounds very hot. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
But I can't imagine it being a problem. I guess maybe I'm in the minority, but it just doesn't seem like I would hold that against someone because of
I don't care for the handicap,
an accident of birth or in a car accident or something. How could you possibly hold it against
Because they're not as good as we are.
I'm telling you, dude, when it comes to like things of a sexual nature, you're just more open-minded. You can think about guys like Dave or Bean.
That's true.
I mean, like, Dave
girl can't be with someone has a tattoo.
Well, if she wears brown pants, ever. No, not for
That's
me.
That's a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
We lost Amy, but I wanted to thank her very much for the call. Let's do one more. This is John, line five. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. What's going on with you, dude?
How's it going? I heard your show this morning. I never really listened to you guys, but I was really interested because you were talking about the stumps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My stump. My lovely little stump.
That was our
MPT.
Plan. That was our plan for drawing in new listeners. Talk about MPT sex.
Actually, I'm missing both of my legs.
You are?
Now, was that an accident?
Another motor.
No, he did it on purpose, Lisa.
accident versus birth. You know
oh, that's what you know. What you know. How did it happen, Captain Dan?
But the thing is here is that a couple years ago, these porn directors asked me to be in one of their videos.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, I didn't do it.
Second.
Oh, okay.
We're on the radio,
dude.
Penetration.
Hey, no!
Okay, we got all right. Thank you, John.
We understand, John. We got to let you go, brother.
Yeah, we
Apparently,
can't trust you.
Your biggest handicap is not your legs, it turns out.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Halloween week, by the way, before we get into Bean's
Woo!
Dead Corner.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
A lot of complaints from the kids about not enough Halloween spooks this year.
Yeah.
So let's remedy that for you.
Halloween, Halloween.
Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Certainly are.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah. Halloween spooks.
Everybody.
Outside my window.
Sing it if you know it.
Halloween spooks. Behind the tree.
I don't want to hear Lisa.
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Rape me.
That's the part where we lose Kevin on Halloween Spooks. The rape me part is Lisa's part. All right. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Time for another round of Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
I do love the death, it's true, and I am endlessly fascinated by the way people die. And Lisa, you missed this story because you were on vacation in Mexico last week.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got an update on the woman who, a 57-year-old former real estate agent from Corona Del Mar, California, an upscale beach community in Southern California, had fallen on some hard times, has been living with friends. And she, believe it or not, even though things were bad for her, she came across someone who is even worse shape than she was. So she offered to let this woman live in her car. She said, "You can live in my car."
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Why do you say it like that?
This is an interesting idea.
I think this is a dubious story. This is her story that she told the cops, by the way.
The investigation is ongoing. Yeah. The thing that we do know is that last December, the homeless woman that she allowed to live in her car died.
Right.
And the woman, not wanting to get in trouble, decided not to tell anybody and has been driving around for 10 months with a woman who now is mummified in the front seat of her car.
Yeah.
What?
So you see why maybe I doubt this woman's story that she was just letting this woman live in her car. She's got
no signs of foul play, Ralph.
Uh-huh.
Just so you know.
Right.
The only reason she was discovered now is because she parked illegally and the police came to ticket her car and saw a woman's leg out underneath a blanket in the front seat of the car and said, "What's that about?" All that was left of the woman, by the way, was skin and bones. She weighed about 30 pounds.
If you have a mummy in your car, don't you make sure that your parking jobs are on the up and up at all times?
You do. That's the one thing you do is don't call attention to yourself. And I thought this was fascinating. Over the weekend, the medical examiners figured out a way to rehydrate the body so that they were able to get a fingerprint, a usable fingerprint, and they have been able to identify the homeless woman after she was dead for 10 months.
It was a simple procedure. They just take a fire hose and stick it in her butt. And turn it on. And just like a water balloon. She just pops back up. And hey, Gene Simmons, what's up?
Sticking on.
Well, authorities have not determined whether the driver is going to face any charges. The autopsy showed no signs of trauma to the body. However, toxicology reports are not back yet. They are now looking at laws dealing with the transportation of bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, you're calling BS on her story, though, aren't you?
No, I know a lot of people say, "Hey, homeless person, here's the keys to my car. Why don't you just live there for a while?" I don't mind. And when I go shopping, I have someone who's a companion.
Just ride around with you?
That's right. Yeah. When I go off to Ross Dress for Less, then at least I know I have to go by myself because I've got the smelly homeless person living in my car.
I will tell you, though, depending on what her commute is like, it might be worth it for the carpool lane. I mean, you might just put up with that just to be in the HOV lane.
Hey, just to get an idea of how much you love death.
If
that mummified body were to be able to be put on the market, would you buy it?
I'd insist on owning it. Are you kidding me?
Like, Bean doesn't have all plenty of mummified bodies already, by the way.
Here's an update on another previous Bean's Death Corner story that I'm very excited about. Remember we told you over the summer about the international sauna competition that is held each year in Finland?
Sure.
Now, these are the guys. I mean, this is for hardcore sauna guys. These are guys who get in and you stay as long as you can until it gets too hot for you and you have to leave.
No, this is major league saunaing right here. Absolutely. I follow it. Yeah.
That's why it's in Finland, because it's the sauna capital of the world. The last two contestants for this past year's, or I guess this past summer's international sauna competition got up to 230 degrees, okay? Both men, within seconds of each other, collapsed. One of them died.
Yeah.
Okay?
Dear God.
You know what? Too hot.
It was sauna was too hot. There's no way to tell that it was going to be uncomfortable at that level.
There are no thermometers in Finland.
So he died. The reason I bring it up today is this past weekend, the other guy, the one who collapsed but didn't die, was released from the hospital. They kept him in a coma for 3 months because his injuries were so severe. He was 70% badly burned, had severe injuries to his lungs and kidneys. So they kept him in a coma so he would never feel any of that pain.
And they're going to do it again next year, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. He was interviewed coming out of the hospital. He said he is not planning to sue the organizers. That's how you can tell he's not American. He said, hey, I was there of my own free will. It's my fault. Yes. I made the mistake.
And now Bean has asked him to live in his car. So
he's going to live in my car.
We know where that's headed.
And finally, this could be, and I'm not kidding, my favorite Bean's Death Corner story ever.
Wow.
I can't tell you how excited I was to hear about this. It's a plane crash in the Congo, which is a honked up African country.
Boring.
19 of the 20 people on board and both pilots and crew were all killed. The only reason we know what happened is because of the one survivor from the plane crash. All right. So it's a small plane, 20 passengers.
So far, I'm not impressed.
One of the passengers, for some reason, had a crocodile in his gym bag under the seat on the plane.
Right.
He was apparently transporting it, planning to sell it. Well, upon approach to the airport in the Congo, the crocodile somehow managed to crawl out of the gym bag and into the aisle on the plane.
Right.
The stewardess sees the crocodile and freaks out and screams, "It's a crocodile!" Every passenger on the plane also freaks out, jumps out, and runs to the front of the plane to get away from the crocodile because they think they're in danger from this animal.
Right.
The pilots cannot compensate for the change in the weight on the plane with everybody running to the front of the plane, and the thing just nosedives right into the ground and blows up.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. That's spectacular. God, that's impressive.
And then the crocodile just walks away from the wreckage.
Oh, you know it.
One guy survived, and yes, the crocodile also survived the crash until the investigators came to start picking up the rubble, and they saw the crocodile, and they hacked it to death with machetes.
So it didn't even end. Why is he going to get hacked to death?
Did not even end well for the crocodile, but one guy survived that crash. Have you ever in your whole life heard of a plane crash due to a crocodile?
That is insane.
That's why they always say keep your tray tables up and your crocodile stored in an upright position.
Yes, they do. This has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Great song, great band, great album, great live act. That's the Black Keys on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. It is 7:54. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Green Day Neon Trees coming up. Our friend Gustavo Arellano will be joining us, too. He is going to give you the opportunity to ask a Mexican because they're such a mysterious people. We have so many questions about how it is they do things that they do. But that is coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, I want to know why they called corn maize. That always confused me.
That was, you're confused. That was the Indians.
What?
That was the Indians.
Oh, I got nothing for them then. That was the only question I really had. The whole maize corn thing. I don't know how that worked out.
The denim swim trunks has really got me perplexed.
Yeah, we asked it like 9 times, though. We're running out of stuff for this guy. Yeah. Just saying, we had to come up with something new. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Yeah.
Why do they love the mustache so much? How about that one? Let's bring that up.
All right.
Boy, Mexicans love their mustaches, don't they? I'm just
saying. We can ask them. We've got an expert.
We got to ask him why white folks smell like mayo.
Shouldn't we save that for Ask a Whitey?
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Do you have the same name as a famous celebrity? Boy, sounds like a lame-ass Kevin and Bean bit. Sounds like a lame-ass call-in we should be having.
Just did it.
Really? Well, yep. There you go. That explains a lot. Well, apparently there's a new reality show on CBS where you could switch places with your namesake.
Come on,
everybody. Who's with me?
Were you on vacation, Ralph, when we did that phone-in topic where we had people calling in?
I have to assume yes, because I certainly don't remember it. So
We were talking about that poor guy in Florida named Justin Bieber. That's kind of what started the story and how miserable his life is because of the singer. So they're doing a show about
this. Did hilarity ensue once you started taking those phone calls?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. CBS says they have ordered a pilot for the same name, the name of the reality show, where celebs will switch places with everyday people who share their first and last name. Come on!
So wait, I don't understand. So if my name is...
How do you not understand? You did the bit on your radio show.
No, because it's the part about celebrities switching places. So if my name is William Shatner, and I'm a checkout guy at the Kmart.
Right. Shatner will go to your Kmart, and he will check people out, and you will go onto the set of Bleep My Dad Says and do a table read.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, but, I mean, most real celebrities aren't going to allow you to do that.
I wouldn't think so. Why would they?
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe that's why CBS just ordered a pilot. Maybe you don't have enough people for a whole series. But it could be on television. That could be on TV.
That would be a way awesome show.
Oh, this Justin Bieber guy you guys were talking about in Florida. What if that dude goes on stage?
Did a concert. Yeah.
Right. With the goofy haircut and everything, and Shaq comes out and bounces him around, and then Justin's got to go to Florida and do whatever that dude does.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
But that won't happen.
All right, then. Why are we yelling? Weezer leader Rivers Cuomo has written a book. He told Spin Magazine that his book, The Pinkerton Diaries, is a collection of his emails, letters, photos, school papers, and other items through 1994 through 1997. Rivers said this will give fans an insight into where his head was at during that period. Crazy. That's where his head was at.
Yeah. That's not when he was living in that little apartment by the freeway and refusing to go outside, is it?
I don't know, but that would be interesting if it was. Apparently, of course, the book is named after Pinkerton, Weezer's second album, which Rivers has basically ignored until now. Bands playing it and their self-titled album all the way through on their new Memories tour, but... Pinkerton's getting a lot of love now, all of a sudden.
Sure.
So there you go. Did we do the top 10 movies at the box office yet?
No.
It is Monday, so we like to take a look at how much money the big movies have made over the weekend. Paranormal Activity 2, sequel to the very popular film, in its debut weekend did $41.5 million.
That's huge.
That's not Jackass huge, but it's right up there. For a scary movie, it's really a dynamic opening weekend. Jackass 3D.
And no stars, right?
Yeah. Jackass 3D. Did very well for itself, $21.6 million. Red came in with $15 million at number three. Hereafter, the new Matt Damon film came in at $12 million over the weekend. Social Network was fifth. Secretariat was sixth. Life as We Know It came in at number seven. Then The Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Gahooly. Number eight, The Town. And Easy A, starring my girlfriend Emma Stone, came in at number 10 this weekend. I actually watched a little Saturday Night Live this weekend because Emma Stone was the guest host of Saturday Night Live.
How was she?
She was wasted.
Really?
Not
oh,
drunk.
Oh, not wasted.
Not loaded.
That's what we thought.
Oh, okay.
That was such a good story.
SNL wasted her talents, her. In my opinion.
Really? Oh, they didn't have anything good for her? I have not seen this week's episode yet.
No, I fast-forwarded through just the stuff that she was in it, and she looked like a... Like, sometimes, you know, those people make cameos that kind of show up, and they show up in a sketch room, and goes, oh, my God, look, Justin Timberlake just walked out. Right. That was her. Everything she did, they really didn't tailor enough to suit her, I think.
Oh, that's a shame, because she's very talented.
Yes, she is. I love her the most. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Katy Perry's 26 years old today. Newlywed Katy Perry just got married to her boy, Russell Brand. Saturday, they tied the knot in Inja. Craig Robinson of The Office is 39 years old.
Hey, everybody! How about Craig Wilson?
He's good, that Craig Wilson. Yeah. Have another cocktail, Lisa.
I don't know
if you saw the Halloween episode of The Office or not coming up, but apparently Michael Scott dresses as Craig Robinson's character in The Office Halloween party.
Dope.
And many people are offended when he puts on an Afro wig. Ed Robertson of Bare Naked Ladies is 40 years old today. Adam Goldberg for Saving Private Ryan is also 40.
And Dazed and Confused, mother effer.
All right.
Just saying. I love that movie so much.
I don't have time to read his old IMDb page. Just saying. Nancy Cartwright from The Simpsons, Bart on that show. She is 53 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the show.
Hey, you are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 8:07. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, Mexicans be late is what I know because Gustavo Arellano is supposed to be here for Ask a Mexican right now, but he's not. So we'll have him in here in about 15 minutes or so. We'll be able to take your calls with your questions about the Mexicans like he do. All right. DJ Omar Khan, welcome to the studio. How are you, my friend?
Yeah.
DJ Omar Khan.
I'm good.
Brand new post it to KevinB.com. Always lots of reasons for you to check out the website, including the internet roundup. Of course, we do. If you want to get the recap on Kevin's top 10 natural breasts of all time, you can do that. And now Psycho Mike has answered. And Mike, you did your own list of the 10 women that should have been on the list and weren't, right?
Yeah. I was not only angry that Kevin omitted a lot of girls, but his super bitchy bitch move of putting like 30 girls at number one because he just wasn't man enough to make a decision. That angered me, so I did my own list.
So Mike made his own list. You can also see the model that we were talking about with the missing body part. That's up there at KevinBean.com. Also, tell us whether it's a deal breaker or whether you'd still hit that. And the brand new post that just went up is from our own DJ Omar Khan. What's going on with you, dude? What's happening here?
Well, I have discovered the next superstar DJ. As you know, I've been training number one listener Dewan to DJ.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California wants to be a DJ?
That's right. And, you know, I want to get him going. And this is the second sesh in the DJ training. And I think it's going well. I think I got him on the right track to superstardom.
Okay. All right. So we have a video up there of you in the studio with kind of teaching him the tricks of the trade. What are we going to hear here first?
I wanted Dewan to kind of just intro the video.
So give me a lot of energy.
Hey, what's up, party people? This is DJ 9021 here at the
Cut. You have to give me a little bit more energy.
Hey, party people. This is DJ 9021 here at
No. It's the same. Cut.
Hey.
Wait.
Hey, party people.
Guy, you're mumbling.
Hey, party people, this is DJ 9020 here at the studios, mixing some music.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's so he's well on his way. With that energy, I mean, he can't miss. He's going to be a superstar.
Well, there are DJs, by the way, who aren't like you that are 100% of the time hype men and high on coke and everything else that you do. I mean, there are some guys who are just there for the music, though. They don't have to jump up and down like crazy people.
Yeah, those guys are bogus, dude.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure, you know, DJ 90210 head was straight, and I asked him why he wants to DJ.
Need to make that dough.
For those bitches, right?
Oh, yes, I do.
So, exactly. Right. You got a DJ for the dough and the bitches. Exactly, okay. You know? So, we got that taken care of. So, then I ask him what kind of music he's going to be playing.
R. Kelly on JC.
You know R. Kelly on a bitch on TV?
How you know about that?
You didn't see the video?
No.
Dude, the video's crazy. You want to show you?
Yeah.
So then we took a break and we saw the Waterworks video, which is pretty cool.
Oh, Omar, you don't... Hey, when Dewan comes down, he's a guest at our house. You don't force him to watch child porn.
I didn't force him. You heard him. He wanted to watch it.
Oh, man.
It's good times with Dewan. And then as any good DJ, you have to practice your shout-outs. So here are his shout-outs.
Hello, Mom. I'm Regine, bitch. Beans gay.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hey, what are you teaching him?
The basics. Yeah, you know. So, you know, I wanted to get Dewan in the right mindset.
Did he open with hi, Mom?
Yeah. So, I'm like Mr. Miyagi here, okay? And he's Ralph Macchio. So I have him draw some turntables on a paper and a mixer on a piece of paper. And I wanted to get some DJ drills going on, okay? So this is what we had him do.
Left turntable.
Right turntable.
Fader in the middle.
Both turntables at the same time.
Wow, dude, you are a pro. Man, you got some mad skills. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
This place is on fire.
Oh, yes, baby.
Yeah. I'm practicing on paper turntables, man. I mean,
how is that useful? How is that going to help him at all?
Well, before you hop on the real thing, you got to visualize and make sure you know where everything is. And he felt it. He was on fire. You got to watch the video. It's insane.
I mean, I'm not a DJ, Omar, but does... paper turntables properly like replicate what it's like to be a DJ?
Yes. Just take it from me. Okay. I've opened for Paul Oakenfold. Okay.
I have not, so I'm sorry.
So is Dewan ready now after two lessons in the DJ Omar Khan DJ school? Is he ready to go out there and rock the house?
I think he is gonna rock the house, but I mean the session almost ended when this happened.
Do you like Glee?
Yes I do.
Oh, we gotta end this session. You like Glee, really?
But I really don't watch it, oh.
Okay.
Jump back in.
So you guys got some common ground.
Yeah, for sure. But the number one thing, you know, that Dewan is going to be known for, I think, is his hyping the crowd out. Not the shout outs. It's going to be hyping up the crowd. And I think this was one of his best.
Show me those tits, lady.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's what you want at a, you know, when you're at a club. You want to see him.
Yeah.
So he's just straight out there, right?
You are certainly teaching him all the important lessons to be learned to
exactly.
be a DJ. That's for
and
sure.
This is above and beyond any lesson, this is the number one lesson. Pop a pill in your mouth, man. Yeah.
Now you're all eat up.
Yeah. Oh, man, dude. I love you, man. I love you, dude. Aren't drugs good?
I love you, too.
Aren't drugs good, man? Ah, oh, dude, the drugs. It's all about the drugs, man.
Oh, that's sad.
He was so sweet and innocent when he walked through the front doors. Yeah. Come on.
Dwan, yeah, do it to our Dwan.
Dwan will be visiting Dr. Drew sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Mexican Americans don't like to get up early.
I'm on a Mexican radio.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Gustavo.
Hola.
Gustavo.
Dying.
See, this is a good Mexican, Gustavo. Unlike the weak-ass Mexicans, we've got like Dave and Mike around here. Gustavo gets it done. He is the managing editor of OC Weekly, ladies and gentlemen, which, if I recall, Mr. Arellano, is an upgrade from the last time we had John.
Yeah, last time I was just a staff writer. Now managing editor number
nice.
Two in
Congratulations.
Command, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's the same job except more responsibilities. But, hey, Mexicans, we always want more responsibilities, more jobs, more sweat for cheap labor, right? Absolutely.
Well, there's never been a tougher time to be the manager of a newspaper than in 2010 America. So good luck with that. You still going strong with the column, with the books and everything else?
Absolutely. Ask a Mexican. I'm still doing the column. Actually, most of this past year, I've been doing research for my third book, which is going to come out, I think, next year or around 2012. It's going to be a history of Mexican food in the United States.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I've been doing nothing but eating Mexican food everywhere from Texas to Tulsa, which has this really amazing restaurant that, what was it? It was called the night. They had a dish called the Nighthawk, which was three cheese enchiladas baked with chili con carne, and then baked with it's called cheese, but some yellow goop. So I don't think that's cheese at all. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. Just nothing but research. So if anybody knows Mexican restaurants anywhere in the United States that I have to try, and even the world, please let me know.
Wow, okay. That sounds like the kind of book you would come up with just because the research would be so much fun.
Exactly, and I get to write it all off on my taxes as quote unquote
sure.
research. Sure, why not?
Now, Gustavo, there's no such thing as one authentic Mexican food because the country is so big and there are so many different towns that do it their way that I imagine there's lots of authentic Mexican food,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. There was this huge debate about a month ago. Jonathan Gold, the Pulitzer Prize-winning food critic for L.A. Weekly, he made some snide remark about Rick Bayless, who does really great Mexican food. But Rick Bayless is always like, oh, I love authentic Mexican cuisine. And he opened up a new restaurant here in L.A. and he said, I'm bringing real Mexican food to Southern California. Are you giving, give me a break. Some guy from Chicago is going to teach us here in Southern California what real Mexican food is about. So this idea that somehow some food is more authentic than others, it's ridiculous. Mexican food in Southern California is different from, say, what you could find in San Francisco, which is different what you can find in Texas, which is different what you can find in New Mexico. And then we're not even talking about the Mexican food actually in Mexico. There's 31 states, and each state has a whole bunch of different traditions. So this question of authenticity is just something that you could fight about forever. I'd rather just eat it. That's what I would rather.
I like that.
In a couple minutes, by the way, we're going to be taking your phone calls as we do every time Gustavo joins us. If you have any questions, well, why don't you set the parameters? Tell them what kinds of questions you're looking for today, Gustavo.
Oh, sure. I could answer. If you've never heard of my column, Ask a Mexican is really simple. I will answer any and all questions that you have about Mexicans. Of course, in the column, there's much more leeway than what you could say here per the FCC regulation. So please keep it relatively clean. Don't say the seven dirty words. But outside of that, ask anything. I'd like questions today. Oh, the funnier the better. I want to laugh this morning, like I usually do. But thankfully, the Kevin Bean audience has never disappointed in terms of the most out there questions around. So I love it.
And this is why it's a great opportunity, because lots of people who sort of know Mexicans but not well enough to be able to ask them questions without being embarrassed or without feeling like they're, making fun, they don't have an opportunity to figure out some of the answers to these questions they've had. You cannot be offended. People can ask you anything and you'll give them the answer, right?
Absolutely. If you're going to be a bigot about it, sure, I might be a little bit nastier to you. But if you just have a question, honestly, that you've had your entire, say, the past 3 years or so, and you just never really wanted to ask somebody about it, you didn't want to ask any of your Mexican friends or whatever, ask it. I'm not going to degrade you for your ignorance. I will degrade you, again, if you're just a bigot or just, I can't say that word on the air. But we all know what it is.
Yeah.
We haven't had our first Mexican or Mexican-American, I should say, president yet. But you do have a UFC champion right now.
from Mexico,
yeah,
that's a big step.
Well, it was great because Brock Lesnar, the guy who fought, was it Cain Velasquez? Mm-hmm. His name?
Yeah, that's right.
He's like, oh, I'm going to make, after I beat Cain, I'm going to drink a Corona and eat a burrito, which is like the dumbest thing you could possibly say. Insult our food, that's when it, you know, forget it. So Cain beat him in one round, and so now we have our first Mexican-American heavyweight champion, whether in Ultimate Fighting or in boxing. Next up is Chris Arreola. Hopefully he'll get his act together, lose 50 pounds, and be able to whip whoever the hell the heavyweight champion is right now in boxing.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take a break right now and come back with your phone calls. Ask a Mexican is the question, is the topic that we're doing right now. You can call on any topic. Ask a Mexican. Gustavo Arellano is here. And by the way, for folks who can't stick around, what's your website, Gustavo?
What I'd say now, just go to Facebook, type in Ask a Mexican. My little bandito caricature will pop up. Be my fan. I post the things up every day. I post random remarks. You know, we're all on Facebook and Twitter nowadays, so just do that.
1-800-520-1067. Your questions for Gustavo right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. It is 8:34. Our friend Gustavo Arellano is in studio with us. He is the Ask a Mexican guy and the managing editor of the Orange County, California weekly newspaper. Hey, real quick before we go to the calls, Gustavo. Richard writes in, how and why do Mexicans get old police or postal service vehicles? What's up with that?
Recycling. You recycle vehicles, and especially if you're down in Mexico, you're going to try to keep cars alive for the longest time. That's why in Mexico, the Volkswagen, especially in Mexico City, the Bug and the Bus, they're still new vehicles even to this day. In fact, I have a 68 Volkswagen Bus. I bought it here, totally rusted out, sent it down to TJ. I should put a picture up, and now it's perfectly clean, brand new. We keep things alive long after they're dead.
Isn't that interesting? Because I was just saying to somebody the other day, I thought there was a time where you would never stop seeing Volkswagen Beetles mm-hmm. on the road, but they are virtually gone now. You almost never see them in America anymore.
No, the only people who are driving them are either stoners or stoner Mexicans.
Exactly. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Do you have a question? It's time to Ask a Mexican.
Mexican Americans don't like to get up early.
I'm on a Mexican radio.
Did somebody order Mexican?
All right, we got some great calls for Gustavo. We'll go to as many as we can, and let's start with Jesus. He is on line 4, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike, take the music out so the callers don't get distracted by that. Jesus, welcome to the program. You got a question for Gustavo?
Yeah, I just wanted to know how come a lot of paisas be hating on Mexican Americans.
Paisas, I need to interpret for the Kevin Bean audience. It's a slur that's used by Mexican Americans to make fun of recently arrived Mexican immigrants. In other words, and so he's asking, why do Mexicans, actual Mexican immigrants, hate on Mexican Americans? That's really the great immigrant tradition of people who came from a previous generation slam on people that are either already more assimilated or are slamming on those right before them. Like this new show, Boardwalk Empire, I think it was 2 episodes ago, where they kind of talked about that divide where the Irish that were born in Ireland, they were making fun of the Irish Americans, saying, oh, you're not Irish enough. So it's not a Mexican thing, it's just an immigrant thing. And you see that in the literature from time immemorial.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Sarah, line 1. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling. You're on with Gustavo Arellano. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to know why Mexicans push their older kids around in strollers.
It's a free ride. You know, especially it's usually going to be the mom who's pushing the stroller. And, you know, in Mexican society and Catholic, really, culture, the mom will always take care of their children, will always baby them long after the fact. That's why you'll continue to see kids being breastfed until 4 or 5 years old. That's why you'll see us using bottles until God knows how long. That's why you'll see Mexican, young professional Mexicans living with mommy, papi, until they're 25, 26. I lived with my parents until I was 26. So it's just an extenuation of that maternal love, overprotective love.
Thank you very much for the call. By the way, let me ask you this kind of on that topic, Gustavo. Do most Mexican Americans tend to continue those traditions that were handed down from their parents, or do they assimilate and become more like their other friends who are Americans who may do things differently?
Oh, no. We assimilate. We try to keep as many of those traditions as possible, keeping the ones that we like and the ones that we don't like. But most within one generation, you'll see the complete acculturation of Mexicans into American society. Within one generation, you'll have somebody whose name is, let's see, Refugio, calling his or her kids, or Refugio, calling his kids Brittany or Janet or, you know, something more Americanized. And it goes like that from tradition to tradition. So, say my my friends whose parents aren't immigrants but whose grandparents were, they're just like any other American family that I know. In other words, they didn't stay at home until they were 25, 26. They went off to college. And, you know, they're much more acculturated. And that happens within one generation. So this idea that Mexicans somehow forever remain Mexicans, it's just not true. We might keep more of the traditions in other cultures, but not as much as the hype may make you believe.
Let's try Jennifer. Jennifer's on line 8. She's got a question for Gustavo Arellano. It's time to ask a Mexican. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. My question is, why do Mexicans love Tweety Bird?
Why do Mexicans love Tweety Bird? We love all Warner Brothers cartoons, specifically. Tweety Bird we love because it's – Mexicans love the – how would you say? The childish, especially when it comes to cartoons. And then the other major thing here in California, the most listened to DJ, El Piolín. Piolín is the Spanish nickname for Tweety Bird. So a lot of times when you see people using like the Tweety Bird logo or, you know, the picture of him on their trucks, it's really a way to tell other people, I'm a fan of El Piolín, the Spanish language.
That.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Hey, the Mexicans are rooting hard against the San Francisco Giants in the World Series, right?
Of course.
Right? Yeah, they got to because they're the mortal enemies of Los Dodgers, right?
Los Dodgers.
But how now, can you really root for the Texas Rangers, though? Because it seems like they've done a lot of damage to your people as well. What are you going to do about that?
It's funny because in Dallas, all the Mexicans there, and there's a lot of Mexicans, they love the Texas Rangers. They don't care about the name anymore. In fact, I think the only people who really care about the Rangers are the Texans themselves. The rest, like us here in California, our problem's never been with the Rangers. It's always been with La Migra, which is a whole other entity of the government. But I got to say, I'm rooting for the Rangers just because all Mexicans love Nolan Ryan. Because our parents grew up with Nolan Ryan or after that, Fernando Valenzuela. So you have to root for Ryan to win another World Series for himself as the
Interesting.
Owner now. Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. We've got your calls for Ask a Mexican. Here's an email, one from Drew. Please tell me, Gustavo, why do Mexicans have to stop their cars in the middle of the street to drop off the kids, talk to someone on the sidewalk, sit and chat or whatever? A day does not go by that I don't have to maneuver my way around cars sitting in the middle of the road when there's plenty of room for them to pull over to the side, but apparently matters of utmost importance are being discussed in the middle of the street. What's up with that?
Most of the times when you see that, it's actually in Mexican neighborhoods where you don't have any parking whatsoever. So if you're parked right there in the middle of the road, it's because you can't park anywhere else. Obviously, in Drew's case, he's seeing this happen in other places where there is parking. I would say that is the exception rather than the rule. You're not going to circle around the block for 15 minutes to try to find a parking spot so you could pick somebody up and then go back there. No, you're just going to honk, 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 you know, and talk to somebody for a couple of minutes and then take off. Mexicans are not always rocket science.
And they're also not in a hurry a lot of the times,
well,
too, right?
You know, you start chatting to somebody, you start talking about one subject and another subject, 1 minute turns to 10 minutes, and then, exactly, it's not like we're blocking the road. You just have to go around us. It's not that much of an inconvenience. Not too much.
Let's take a couple more calls. Mondo is on line 2.
Mondo.
Hey, Mondo, thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. You're on with Gustavo. Go ahead.
How you doing? Why do Mexican parents shave babies' heads when they're born?
Shave their baby's heads?
I have not heard
about this.
Some parents do, and it's in the belief that if you shave a baby's heads, that the hair is going to come out a little bit thicker. It's not because all Mexican parents are gang members or cholos or anything like that. But I know my head, you see a picture of me when I was like about 2 years old, and I used to have nice hair. Then they completely shaved it off, and then most of it never came back, unfortunately.
Gustavo, that leads me to a question I had. Why the progression from like the old school pachuco to the full head of hair to the modern day, what we consider cholos with shaved heads? It's always shaved heads. What is that?
It's just fashion traditions. Like, you know, the same reason why there used to be the greaser culture in the 50s, where you don't really see that with, in the American culture anymore. So in the 40s and 50s, you did have the pachuco, the Mexican people. People used to wear zoot suits, you know, big, huge, what do you call them, DAs in terms of hairstyle. Nowadays, what's prevalent is the sort of the cholo thing. Well, not even the Pendleton. The Pendleton's more like 80s and 90s. Now it's just kids with huge baggy pants, humongous white shirts that look kind of like those shirts that Indian men wear in India. Hanging down to your knees. And it's just a progression, actually, of just fashion culture. Most of the times brought from prison. In fact, there's this great book. If anybody ever has any fashion questions about Mexicans, I direct them to a book called Barrio Gang, Street Life and Identity in Southern California. That was a book done in the 1980s by a professor from UCI, which talks all about Mexican-American culture, specifically how we dress.
Cool. Melissa is up next. She's on line 7 for Gustavo Arellano. Melissa, ask a Mexican. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show. Go ahead.
Why do Mexicans
Mexicans cover their stoves with tinfoil?
Why do Mexicans cover themselves with tinfoil?
No, their stoves.
Oh, their stoves. Oh, I'm like, themselves. I'm like, because I don't know. Oh, that's easy, because you don't want the stoves to get those. I don't cook. Of course, you leave it to the girlfriend to cook. So I know, though, from my mom that she does that so the stove itself won't get dirty. In other words, all that grease that drips off the stove or all those remnants of something charred, it gets on the tinfoil itself instead of the stove. That way you don't have to get steel wool and ruin the stove in the first place. That's why you do it.
Yep, that makes sense. Thanks for the call. Let's do one more. Amanda is on line three. Hey, Amanda, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're our final call for Ask a Mexican.
Hi. So why do Mexican, like, men who are, like, you know, wait in front of the U-Hauls and just on the street, why are they so much more vulgar than regular guys and the catcalls and stuff?
Yeah,
white women.
Absolutely. white women. That's not just white women, honey. It's also Mexican women, Asian women, any woman that walks down in front of them. Honestly, it's the working class. You have that same problem over in New York City with construction workers catcalling everybody because working class men. Working class men from the beginning, you know, ever since, as long as they've been around, they will always be much more vulgar than, say, the professional classes, say, the middle classes, and much more outwardly vulgar. It's just a class thing, much more so than it is a Mexican thing.
Does it ever work, though? Does a chick walking down the street ever walk over to the construction guy and go, well, since you said you wanted to see him, here they are? What's the success rate like for catcalling on the street?
As long as it works once, men will do that until the end of time. And I've heard cases where it's worked, so you might get rejected 99% of the time, but it's that hope for that 1% that a woman's going to show you her pachangas that you'll be able to do it.
Nice.
All right. Gustavo Arellano has been our guest for Ask a Mexican. You can contact him on the Facebook or the Twitter or the MySpace or the YouTube. He's all over the place. And, of course, he's the managing editor of OC Weekly. By the way, I tipped you off to the Casa Bonita on my little island up here in Washington State, Gustavo. If you decide to research that for the book, please let me know, and I'll meet you up there for some grub.
Oh,
all right?
That would be great. I'd love it.
Thanks for coming by, dude. Great to see you.
Hey.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:54. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We have debuted a new feature on the program called Stop It, America. We will explain and give you entry number one coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Some people react oddly when their relationships go sour. This certainly is one of those cases. Shia LaBeouf and Carey Mulligan apparently have split up. What a surprise. Shia LaBeouf is now being rumored to date his Transformers 3 co-star Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa!
I thought that was Statham's lady.
Yeah.
Rumors linking Shia to co-star Rosie apparently upset his former girlfriend, Carey Mulligan. Apparently, this guy just bangs whoever he's acting with.
Good for
him.
And
they starred in the Wall Street movie together, right?
Yes, Wall Street 2. The Money Shot, it was called.
I don't think so.
Now, Carey commands over $5 million a movie. But apparently, after breaking up with Shia, she was living with him, apparently. She's moved herself into a Best Western motel in Hollywood.
Why would you do that?
Because Carey has always vowed never to go Hollywood, in quotes. She drives a Prius, shops at secondhand stores for her clothing, and has vowed to friends and family she would never go Hollywood. So apparently, when she moved out, she set up home in a $110 a night Best Western, not too far from the 101 freeway here in Los Angeles.
She was nominated for an Oscar a couple years ago, too, right?
Yes.
For an education, education, right. Doesn't it seem like she could at least get into the Hyatt or just someplace just a tiny bit more upscale?
She likes to keep it real, man.
Well, you couldn't rent a crappy apartment.
Lisa, you just don't get it.
I guess I don't.
You're not a hipster, Lisa.
I really don't get it.
Apparently, she has to stay in L.A. because she's working on her next film, a movie called Drive that co-stars Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Ooh.
Heist movie. And the people at the Best Western, as you can imagine, are surprised to see her trotting across the lobby. This is more of a place for backpackers, students, and those on a budget, said the staff member. We pride ourselves on being clean, but this is a long way from the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. I was stunned when I saw Carey walking across the lobby. You would expect her to stay at the Four Seasons, not here. But she's very easygoing. She hasn't made any special requests, doesn't ask to be treated any differently. She keeps to herself and seems quite happy here. Apparently, she spends a lot of her time walking to the nearby Vons to get food and brings it back to her room. I love her. I love Carey Mulligan.
That is not the glamorous Hollywood lifestyle you would expect of somebody like her.
She don't need the glamorous life.
turns
you don't
out.
Don't need a man's touch.
You don't need a man's touch. Thanks, Psycho Mike.
Right, I'll put it in the phone.
No! Leave it out.
All right.
It's good. Let it breathe. Katy Perry's now Mrs. Russell Brand.
Oh, my God.
Showbiz fun couple had a traditional Hindu ceremony.
Hey.
An exclusive resort in India, which includes a tiger reserve.
Boobs.
They arrived at the ceremony on two elephants. Apparently, there were also 21 camels, horses, a fortune-telling parrot, a Hindu guru, and 85 guests in attendance.
Is this a wedding or a circus?
Yes. Katy wore a sari.
She's sorry about it.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm sorry.
And Russell wore traditional Indian garb as well.
Besides the fact they both have very busy careers, and as we discussed earlier, Russell Brand is a self-avowed sex addict. What do you think about the 10-year age difference at this time in their lives?
Big deal?
He's 35, she's 25?
Nah, because he's emotionally maladjusted, so I think he's probably got about the maturity level of a guy in his 20s.
Okay.
So it all works out. As a wedding present, Russell bought Katy a tiger.
I'm sorry?
Bought her a tiger.
Okay, what's she going to do?
Mokli is the name of the tiger. She's a female Bengal tiger, and she resides there at the Ranthambore National Park where the marriage took place. So I guess she won't be taking the present home, but now she knows she's got a tiger living somewhere in India.
I sponsor a rhino. Hello? Is this thing on?
Dave is piping into my ear that he sponsors a panda.
What the F's wrong with people?
Well, you want to give a little something to help. You can't be there in
person. You want to give back to the rhinos for all they've done for you?
Sure. They got a hard life, man.
Like, I can understand giving to, like, a World Wildlife Federation or an animal fund, but you sponsor a specific rhino?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's just you. That's just a big look at me. That's all that is. Oh, I've got a rhino.
You're just trying to help out because just give a bunch
of money to a charity that does good work for animals. Right. And just let them do what they need to do.
But we send a check every month to pay for the health and care and upkeep of this particular rhino. That's all. Because his mother was killed by poachers.
Ralph and I's point is, why not just give money to the ASPCA? Right.
God forbid, a child. How about a human being? How they doing? All the children taken care of being? Moving on to the rhinos now? Make sure they got their horns polished because all the kids are eating?
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
I don't think you know. You know what I don't know? What the hell's gone wrong with Randy Quaid? What's wrong with his head?
Seriously.
He's the best.
He and his wife, Evie, were arrested in Vancouver, British Columbia last week where they went into a bank looking for a loan. When their names came up, there was a little matter of an outstanding arrest warrant for them, so the bank manager called the cops, and the Canada Border Services Agency, the CBSA, showed up and took them into custody. They had their BMW towed, their dog was taken away, and now they're currently being held by Canadian authorities. But however, the Quaids are asking for asylum in Canada. We are requesting asylum from Hollywood star whackers, the couple has said.
What does that mean?
We feel our lives are in danger, Evie told the Canadian judge. Well, Bean, you have to realize, Randy and Evie are begging for asylum because they need protection from a Hollywood hit squad that they claim is responsible for killing 8 of their friends in Hollywood, including Heath Ledger and David Carradine. So, you don't want to go back to Hollywood and you got the Hollywood hit squad out there. The Star Whackers, as they're called. By the way, I read it, Star Whackers, last week, and it's excellent. You should check it out.
It doesn't seem like Randy Quaid is a big enough star to be on a list that includes Heath Ledger and David Carradine.
Oh, you don't know, man. He knows stuff about the Star Whackers. They don't want that information becoming public.
Now,
he knows too much.
Of course, is Dennis Quaid's brother.
Right.
And he is best known for what? The National Lampoon movies from 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, but he's been an actor forever. Right. I mean, he had a starring role in The Last Picture Show, the first movie that Jeff Bridges kind of made him a big star back in the day. I mean, he has been one of those guys who has acted alongside his brother for generations in Hollywood. And now he's gone off the reservation.
Yeah.
At least his wife's crazy, too, which is nice. Because usually one of a couple goes crazy and they have to get a divorce or something. But these people can be crazy together. It's it's another bonding moment for them.
And it seems like he's been in the news because he's been sued for walking out on hotel tabs and for squatting in his own house.
He was doing a play.
That's right.
And he started acting like a nut job and they had to cancel the play and he had to be let go. So he's been... Oh, I love him so much.
He's been circling the drain for some time now. And now we know it's because the Hollywood star whackers are looking for him. And that would make me a little crazy, too, I think.
That's what America's all about.
Today's celebrity birthday is Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, the little boy from The Simpsons. She is 53 years old today. She makes a living doing the voice of a 9-year-old boy.
Yeah. A pretty good living, I would imagine.
Yeah. About, I don't know, when they're making about $250,000 an episode now, I think. Adam Goldberg, I'm Saving Private Ryan, and Dazed and Confused is 40 years old today, as is guitarist Ed Robertson of Bare Naked Ladies. Craig Robinson of The Office is 39 years old today, and new bride Katy Perry celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is 9:08. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, the return of Lisa May on the program this week. You were out in Mexico last week, Lisa.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you desperately missed the program. I'm sure you felt every single day, oh, my God, what am I missing on the Kevin and Bean Show today?
I did not. I liked you guys, but I didn't think about it once.
You are lucky, then, that you missed the debut of our new feature called Stop It, America.
Stop it, America! Just stop it! Just stop it! Stop it, America!
Every once in a while, you have to stand up and you have to get everybody else's attention that may not be paying attention and go, look, there's a cancer in our midst and we need to figure out a way to stop it, America. And the latest example, look, I was unsuccessful at stopping the Jersey Shore. I should have done more to stop the Jersey Shore when that debuted, because the Jersey Shore is not good for America. The new one that has got my attention that I realize we cannot let stand is Willow freaking Smith. Uh-huh. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have a little girl named Willow who is 9 and acts 30.
Yes.
And now she is being treated as if she is a real person and a real thing and a real entertainer. She's been signed to Jay-Z's record label. Mm-hmm. She's got a video out that has already had 5 million hits on YouTube.
Yeah.
And the video is for a song called Whip My Hair.
Yeah, I think you're missing the point, Bean. Is that
what's
she,
the point?
She whips her hair back and forth.
Here's a I have a clip here of the song. At least, have you heard this? Have you heard Willow Smith's Whip My Hair?
Yeah, go ahead, though.
Okay, she's 9.
Whip it real good.
And that's the song. That's the whole song. And radio stations are playing this song, and this song has a hit video, and this song is on the charts, and this song has to be because people like Will Smith, right? That's the only reason that this is getting any kind of attention at all,
right? This is why his kid is in Karate Kid movies and why she has a record deal is because Will and Jada Smith have decided they're going to pimp their kids out and force them down America's throat.
But she's 9. It's not like she has any ability to do anything.
No, of course
at this
not.
Point, right?
She has nothing to say musically.
Exactly. But with this type of music, it's not like this girl who was singing opera on America's Got Talent or something.
Oh, yeah.
If
she
you
was
get good
she
enough.
She was 10 and she had unbelievable talent.
Right.
Though.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
But with Willow Smith's song, if you get good enough production and you just throw someone who can just even recite lyrics, you're good. Nowadays.
Yeah, but what Bean is saying is we must reject this outright. We must send the message to the machine that we will no longer just eat this crap.
Why is somebody like Jay-Z, who I respect enormously and who has shown in the past that he has a great ear and eye for talent, why did he sign her to his record label?
Because Will said, would you do this? And he said, sure, I'll help a brother out. Yeah, well, what do I have to lose by putting her on a record?
Yeah.
Piece of cake. It costs him nothing. He's doing a solid for Will. That's all.
And Jay-Z probably looked at Will Smith's long history of being very successful financially with every venture he's had. So he's like, yeah, I'll get in on this. Yeah.
Look, I'm not even hating on Willow but they should let Willow be a 9-year-old girl. She's out there dressed like she's 40 on the red carpet, giving interviews. Listen to this clip. And Ralph, you could be right. This could make Billy Bush look worse than Willow Smith does in this interview. But they have Willow Smith on. First of all, why are you interviewing a 9-year-old? Access Hollywood Live.
Willow, what's up, Willow? How you
Hi,
doing?
Willow.
Let's talk about the video for a second, because I was on the set. Look at the screen. Tell me what's happening here.
What if it fell on
my... Look at you.
Is that cotton candy, Willow? What do you say with there?
That's cotton candy.
Wow, it's cotton candy. What are the odds of a 9-year-old having cotton candy? What is it they expect Willow Smith to give them? What is it they want to hear from her? She's 9.
No, it's
she
not her
nothing.
Fault. They're putting her on their television show. Shame
but
on
why?
Them for interviewing a 9-year-old.
But what I'm saying is stop it, America. What I'm saying is, Billy Bush, you should look at the Willow Smith video and you should go, no, we're not going to cover that because that's not a real thing.
But if you're Access Hollywood, Bean, and you want to cover Will Smith's next premiere, how do you ignore his pride and joy, the apple of his eye. How do you say no to the promotion machine that is his 9-year-old daughter's recording career if you want to stay in good with Will Smith?
But you understand that this is the song, right? She whips her hair back and forth. That's
stop it, America!
All right, so then here's what I love about interviewing a 9-year-old. She really has a lot to say about the creative process on the same interview with Billy Bush.
What was the best part about making that video?
The best part about making that video was because, like, my Warriorettes are, like, my best friends. And so, like, it's just, like, my family and my best friends are there, so that just makes it even better.
Oh, she's a savant. Now I see why she's got a career. Because
go
she's
home,
a genius.
Willow. Go home and be a little kid and come back when yes. you can talk.
Go
when you've got something to say.
Go double Dutch jump rope with your friends. You should be
or whatever it is you do. I don't understand.
Whip your hair in private.
Why are we in such a hurry to turn a 9-year-old into a star?
Stop it, America!
More importantly, why are Will and Jada such a hurry to turn a 9-year-old into a recording star?
They don't need the money.
Does she not have enough going on in her 9-year-old life that they think she could be happy with?
That's a great question.
Well, I don't know.
Why does her boy have to be a movie star, and why does their girl have to be a recording star? Why can't they just be kids?
I imagine when kids are raised in that environment, a lot of them ask their parents to do it, and they really want to do it.
I think kids ask their parents for a lot of things,
yeah.
And your job as a parent sometimes is to say no.
Yeah, you see it a lot.
If Tom Cruise isn't putting his kid in movies,
right.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You think if anybody would do it, it would be him, right? He seems like the kind of guy who brings home elephants for his daughter's 4th birthday party, and there's jewels dripping from every wall in her bedroom.
DNN is telling me that Tom Cruise's son is in the new Red Dawn remake.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
My point. Stop it, America!
You can go to it is an epidemic now amongst Hollywood parents.
You could go to KevinMedia.com, by the way. You can see the video. We also have a poll up that you can vote in. It's harmless. Kevin and Bean is mean for hating it. So far, that's gotten 11% of the vote, by the way. It's so bad, I can't believe that song is real, 45% of the vote. And curiously, coming in at number two, position three is I Like Turtles, which is at 44% of the vote. I don't even know how that got
turtles
in there.
Turtles are cool.
But you can go to KevinAndBean.com and see it. And please, spread the word. Would you get on this campaign with us? Can you get this Willow Smith to stop what she's doing? Would you please tell America to stop it already?
Stop it, America!
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph Garman joins us for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office and see how much money they made. Paranormal Activity 2 in its debut weekend did very, very, I'll even say very, very, very well for itself.
Wow.
$41.5 million in its debut. Made it yet another smash hit for the Paranormal Activity franchise.
Now, I didn't see the first one, so forgive my ignorance.
Lucky
here.
Man.
Is this the same family getting terrorized by something else in the night again, or is this all new people?
I don't know.
Okay.
I did see the first one, and I was led to believe that there is a relationship between the girl who was haunted in the first one and someone in this family.
Dave's telling me, new people.
New people?
Yeah.
It's not the same people?
It's not same people. It's new people.
No, it's new people. But isn't one of the broads in the family the sister of the girl who was haunted or something? Did Dave actually see the movies, or just is he just whispering things in your ear, Psycho Mike?
He's just whispering.
Right.
Randomly.
How come the only guy in Mexico who was being beheaded who couldn't speak Spanish was the Mexican guy on staff?
That's amazing.
Why is Chick-fil-A and, a phone, why is that all he's got?
I don't know.
And you shouldn't
why has Doc come off as a more convincing Mexican?
You shouldn't have had to try to put on an accent.
That's
you
what
just
I'm saying.
Like Dave.
Yes. But then no one would have understood him, because he'd be
no
saying,
one could
no,
understand
no pebble.
Dave.
And no one knows
right,
what
exactly.
no pebble means.
Chick-fil-A?
Jackass 3D was number two at the box office. It didn't do number two, but I guess it did.
You've seen that movie. A couple times.
They do number two in that film as well. $21.6 million. Red was third, $15 million. Hereafter, the new film with Matt Damon, directed by Clint Eastwood, made $12 million. The Social Network was fifth. Then Secretariat, Life as We Know It, Legends of the Guardians, The Town, and Easy A rounding out the top 10 at the box office. This weekend, Mel Gibson is furious at the producers of The Hangover 2. Booting him from the movie, sources say. Mel was looking forward to his minor role as a Bangkok tattoo artist because he saw it as a potential comeback for his career, which has been in tatters since his very high-profile run-in with his ex-girlfriend.
I don't care.
Producers were quick to cut him loose because the cast members objected to working with him. A source close to Mel says he doesn't understand why Mike Tyson, a convicted felon and drug user who turned his life around, was given a second chance while Mel was kicked to the curb. Everyone deserves a second chance.
On every level.
Alan Nirob, who is the representative for both Mel Gibson and Liam Neeson, who end up getting the role after Mel was kicked out of the cast, issued a statement hinting at resentment over the firing. He said that Liam Neeson will replace Mel Gibson in the part pending clearance of cast and crew background check.
Ooh.
A little shot there to the fact that the cast and crew of Hangover 2 told director Todd Phillips that they were not interested in working with Mel Gibson, even after Todd and Warner Brothers had given their okay. So
that's provocative, okay?
Well, it is.
Here my whole thing. Let Mel Gibson be in the movie. If you don't want to support Mel Gibson, you don't want to go see the movie, don't. That's what I say.
Well,
I mean, it's people who have to work with him.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that
they would bow to that.
Usually the studio and the director, they are the ones who get to make the final calls about any motion picture. But I guess this cast is popular enough and big enough stars that they got to throw their weight around. Zach Galifianakis was the one who publicly said he was upset with the casting.
You think the racism and anti-Semitism maybe had something to do with it?
Well,
didn't help.
Kevin Smith did remind me this weekend when we were talking about this situation that the Jews still run Hollywood. It's important to remember.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Leonard Nimoy from Star Trek is in the hospital. He is 79 years old now, and he went in for what was called a benign abdominal surgery, according to TMZ.com.
Didn't know if had a wide enough lens.
Yeah, what was that?
That's what it was. His representative saying he's recovering beautifully. Doctors removed a tribble, apparently, from his lower intestine.
It's been there a long time.
They thought it was a polyp, but it was a tribble. You see? He had some sort of blockage. It turned out to be a tribble.
What was that?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
What was that?
The tribble. They, they have a lot of babies.
Tribbles. They sure do.
They reproduce
rapidly.
Very quickly. So if you got one tribble in your belly. You got a whole lot of tribbles.
To not like it would make them dickheads.
What was that?
Where did that come from?
I've never heard that quote of Leonard Nimoy's before. That was wildly entertaining. Courtney Love still feeling the afterburn about putting nude pictures of herself up on her Twitter account. She says it was an accident, but not everyone is buying it. Apparently everyone's sort of making jokes about it in Hollywood circles. Even Russell Simmons had a comment about it at a launch party for his new show last Tuesday when he called her a crackhead. He apologized shortly thereafter, saying the joke was in poor taste. It's not really a joke to call someone a crackhead.
No, yeah, just an insult.
It's also accurate, probably.
Courtney said she didn't take it personally. She said she's ashamed of the photos, but understands that Russell Simmons didn't mean to hurt her feelings by calling her a crackhead. Well, you might want to look into that.
I'm a whore, hello?
Yeah. Speaking of people who are a bit out of control, Dennis Rodman still hasn't learned to behave himself. He was filming a British television show last week, locally here in Laguna Beach, California, when he got a little rowdy in a hotel bar. Security had to repeatedly ask him to stop bothering the other guests. But Dennis did not relent. And so 7 police officers were called in to kick him out of the hotel bar.
Wow.
But that makes for good television.
How does a guy like Rodman make a living today?
I think just personal appearances and the occasional reality show. Yeah.
I can't imagine in 2010 somebody is paying to have Dennis Rodman show up in anything. Is he a draw for people?
I think it's got to be more reality show than it is a personal appearance. Because there's no way a club's like, hey, let's get Dennis Rodman for our big Wednesday night DJ.
Look, I mean, they hire a lot of worse talent in Vegas.
That's true.
I mean, you know, Snooki's opened bars. She's been paid thousands of dollars.
Yeah, but right
to
now
show
she's
up.
Hot. I mean, Dennis Rodman's a couple years past his.
Yeah, but I think you know,
heat prime.
Still a NBA champ. Still has a certain high profile amongst party circles.
This is a mess.
And he's got that sparkling personality too.
He does. He's a charmer. Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Is releasing yet another song about yet another one of her ex-boyfriends. You know, if it wasn't for Taylor Swift banging a lot of dudes, she'd have nothing to write about. Every goddamn song she writes is about some boyfriend, either current
or past. If guys don't
want
me to write bad songs about them, then they shouldn't do bad things.
Well, you should stop being such a whore. Close your legs for once.
Could I don't be think the same guy.
I don't think she's banging almost any of these guys.
Well, maybe that's why they're all leaving her.
Yeah.
Maybe if she loosened up a little bit, she'd keep a man.
31-year-old John Mayer is not going to stick around so that he can play, you know, like tiddlywinks and talk about you and your feminine problems at age 19 if you're not going to give him any sex.
You know Taylor got it in, or Mayer got it in. You know,
he had to have, right?
He had to have, right? He's John Mayer. He doesn't fall short of the target ever.
He's a magician.
he's like a stealth bomber with smart bombs in his pants. He's got it all going on.
Yeah.
So who's Taylor writing about now? What's the deal?
Now she's writing an apology song to Taylor Lautner.
Oh.
She's got a new CD out called Back to December, and one of the songs... Oh, sorry. The song is called Back to December, the new CD. I don't know what that's called, but it's an apology to Taylor Lautner. This is a person who was incredible to me, and I was really careless with him, she says, about the song. So now the song's an apology to Taylor.
Does she ever just pick up the phone and handle this privately, or does everything have to go into her record?
She can't express her feelings unless there's a melody to it, apparently.
Speak Now, I think it's called, and I think it comes out at midnight tonight.
Oh, can't wait. Swift. Can't wait to pick that up. And then put it back down.
I have a clip of the
apology. Oh, you have the new Taylor Swift song? I'd love to hear a little bit.
Change of direction for her.
Yeah, it is. I like it better.
And you know, sure. I like Taylor Swift. Yeah. Beyond cute. She's really tall, you know. She's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
No, she won't. Besides the fact that you're 11. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Katy Perry just got married this weekend to Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Who is raping my childhood by remaking Arthur. I loved that movie.
Cool flick. I don't know. I think maybe Lisa brought this up a couple weeks ago when you talked about how they're going to remake it. Is it appropriate in 2010? Like, hey, laugh at the funny alcoholic.
I don't know if alcoholism is nearly as funny as it was in the 80s.
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to work well.
We live in a world of rehabs and mad, you know, mothers against drunk driving. Right. And there's a popular culture thing now where alcohol, even overindulging without being addicted to it, is sort of frowned upon. Much to my sadness.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
Maybe we'll pull it off. All I know is I found out the opening sequence of the new Arthur with Russell... What's his name?
Brand.
Brand. is him driving the 1966 Batmobile drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hope he doesn't have an accident. That's all I care about. Katy Perry, his wife, is 26 years old today. Actor Craig Robinson from The Office.
Hey, everybody!
Craig or Wilson? Which one is wrong? That's what I'm thinking. Which name? Something isn't right here.
Yeah. He is 39 years old today. Ed Robertson of Bare Naked Ladies celebrates his 40th birthday. Adam Goldberg, actor from Saving Private Ryan and Dazed and Confused and The Hebrew Hammer. He is 40 years old today. Nancy Cartwright from The Simpsons, who played Bart Cartwright. What? Bart Simpson has played Bart Simpson for many seasons over there on that show. She is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And why not join us tomorrow morning for an all-new Kevin and Bean show? I think you'll be pleased. Tony Hawk, who we haven't spoken with in, it's got to be 5 days since the last time we had Tony on. So I'm really excited to kind of catch up with how his last Wednesday through Friday were. I'm dying to know what's new in his world.
Also, Lisa May, speaking of the birthday boy, Craig Robinson, will be here tomorrow live in our studio.
I love him.
Talking about The Office, of course, and he's got some... Hey, you know what just occurred to me, Ralph, is
what?
We found out since the last time we saw Craig that the chick that he was in the hot tub with, in Hot Tub Time Machine, is our new girlfriend, Jessica Paré, Don Draper's fiance from Mad Men.
I know you miss her. I know you miss Megan.
I miss her so much.
But she lost a ton of weight between then and now.
I don't care. I still love her.
Her breasts have been reduced.
So we've got to talk to Mr. Robinson about that. Also, live music in studio tomorrow from the band Neon Trees. They got a terrific album out. They're going to be playing live for us tomorrow. And a brand new internet roundup, too. That's all tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat Corbett and her dog are up next. By the way, you can watch Kat's show every day at krock.com. She actually streams it live to Ustream at the website if you ever want to, you know, like watch her privately. And she doesn't know you are.
She doesn't bring the dog anymore, by the way, Bean.
At all?
No.
Wait, the last few days,
is it just
because
of the rain?
No, she's got a dog sitter now. She sends him to a doggy daycare or something. So the only reason I liked seeing Kat was because of her great bulldog.
Yeah.
Now she comes in all like by herself and stuff, all useless.
and wasting your time
That's
and energy.
That's right, yes.
Anyway, Kat's next. She's got the new one from My Chemical Romance. It's part of her 40 Minutes Nonstop. Also, some Phoenix, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Green Day, Apocalyptica, and more. Straight ahead after this on K-Rock.